We had such a good time sitting on the floor eating that bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I go to the doctor. He says, "Doctor, I'm having trouble at home with my love life. What'll I do?" He said, "Take off 20 pounds. Run 10 miles a day." Man calls him 2 weeks later. "Doc, took off the 20 pounds. I've been running 10 miles a day." "Well, how's your love life?" "I don't know. I'm 140 miles away."
That's right. Turn on that cassette. Press record.
Isn't he, crazy?
What about our Jewish fans out there? They're out there. We know you're out there. And we love you. And we love Canners, but Canners every night. My favorite restaurant, even though they raise the prices.
Instantly, I would say, you're a nut.
Well, our next stop's the Nut Hut.
And now...
I do not believe in... I can't trust Obama. I have read about him, and he's not... He's a...
Huh?
He's an Arab.
Our feature presentation.
I'm sorry.
Well, he is an Arab. I mean, there is that.
He's an Arab?
So
is that what
you trust
said?
Him? Yeah, because he's an Arab. You can't trust him. Come on, everybody knows that.
Wow, those were the good old days. There are certain things that just bring out the stupid people.
Yeah.
Politics seems to be one of them.
Everyone's got an opinion.
Yep. And when they speak it, and now it's out, now we got YouTube, and we can watch that whoop and go, "I don't know, he's an Arab."
Name well, like Hussein.
His middle name is Hussein.
That's why all would you
we
need.
Why would we want to elect a guy like that at a time like this? Remember that YouTube video of that chick on the back of the motorcycle?
Wasn't she drunk?
She was drunk. She had like half her teeth.
Yeah.
I don't want nobody like Hussein with his middle name running this country.
Well, the good news is that her vote counts just as much as yours.
That's correct.
That's the important bit.
And mine counts as much as yours. And that's scary as well.
Very, very important. Right.
Morning, everybody. It's the... what happened?
Oh, you missed all that?
Yeah.
Do you not get email at all?
He doesn't, I don't think.
Even email sent to your super secret private email address, you don't even get that anymore?
I may have gotten up late today and not checked. I wondered about that yesterday, by the way.
Yeah,
I thought about it weekend, but I thought we were fine for reasons I won't bore the listeners with. But
it's the 9th of July.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
Look, here's
Did
the
I say
thing.
Something else?
No.
No, we got a delay, so we're fine.
Here's the thing. First of all, you got to get your email at some point during the day or night.
I try, but I got a really busy schedule of stuff.
you got to come to the meetings.
I come to the meetings. I just don't listen.
The thing is, we had that listener calling us yesterday who said, "Hey, why don't you bring back Ralph Sex You? Since you know, things seem to have eased up a little bit."
Right.
And we said, and I think you made this point yesterday. Yeah, the FCC hasn't changed. First of all, but second of all. Our company is way stricter than ever before.
Because they're scared.
Yes.
Because they're scared, yeah. Because they're worried about offending one person somewhere who may be listening even online in another city who's never heard of this station or Kevin and Bean.
Right.
And that's the goal now, is to offend no one, which, of course, is impossible. Now, we've had that month of July for how long? 10 years, maybe?
Yeah.
Probably.
Every year?
Probably
right?
10 years.
Probably 10 years. We've never had a single complaint. We've never had a single listener who has ever indicated that they were offended by it or thought that it was offensive or indecent or obscene or any of those things. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether our listeners like it or not. It matters whether an attorney in New York thinks somebody somewhere might be offended by it if they hear it.
Yeah, that really is the way things are going.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had so many meetings with so many lawyers trying to go, you know, you can't offend no one. We could turn off the radio station. We could do that. But other than that, there are people who want to be offended, and those people will be.
Yeah, and somebody would be offended by the radio station being turned off, too. So literally, there are no answers that satisfy New York.
That's so funny. I got up this morning, Beat, and I got up late, and I thought, what are the chances there's something important in the email today? You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to check it now.
Well, I think the end result of the very long discussion was that we're going to have to eliminate the month of July entirely. Like, next year, we're not even going to have July.
We're not going to be able to say July?
We're not going to have July.
11
we're
months?
Just going to skip to August.
All right.
That's how bad it is.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, if you want to call about this or anything else, we should mention the phone line is still working for now at 1-800-520-1067. It's working in this room. It's not working in some of the other rooms, but 1-800-520-1067 if you want to call and be part of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Next. I know. It's been a rough couple of weeks. Vacation is starting to look good again.
We need a vacation. It's been too long.
All right. Your phone calls, any topic, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
K-Rock Rocks the Mountain is what we're doing here this morning at 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, get a pair of tickets to join K-Rock at the Six Flags Magic Mountain for a free concert with Amberlin and Metric. That's happening on Saturday, July 18th from K-Rock. Another email you didn't get, Kevin.
Yes.
Wow.
You really need to catch up.
I don't. I'm so glad I missed all that.
There's so much of that crap going around, I can't keep up with it anyway.
I know.
F this place. You know what I mean?
I do. Do you want to talk to anyone?
Not now.
Maybe?
I mean,
they might say something that upsets somebody, Lisa.
Well, you're right. We should not take that chance.
What if they say something that upsets some dude somewhere about something?
That's my right to not be offended, right?
That's correct.
That's my right as an American.
You have every right to never be offended by anyone.
Okay.
Hey, Kevin, what were you doing last night? Before we go to the calls, I'm dying to know what got you so busy last night. You couldn't spend the 30 seconds to check the email.
I was just running behind and just trying to catch up. Man, just the list.
Just life. Life was
just
overwhelming.
I had a list of things in life that had to get done, and it wasn't getting done. And the more the harder I tried, the further behind I got. Wow. I mean, that just was the way my life is going right now.
Don't you just yell at your people to do stuff? To do stuff, more stuff, and do stuff faster?
I don't have people.
You should have people.
All right, let's take some calls, I guess. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, what it do?
Hey, don't say anything that's going to offend people.
Oh, I won't.
Okay.
All right, I just wondered if you guys seen that.
Offensive! I'm sorry.
Yeah, he just said he wants if you know if you guys have seen. That's
okay.
All he said.
Go
so
ahead.
Far.
The new show called Las Vegas, HUNG.
Hung.
You can say Hung.
Yeah, I've seen the ads for it and it looks good, but I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, it's great.
Should I?
Is it good?
Just knowing your guys' taste in HBO and Showtime shows, you'll love it. I guarantee it.
I'll tell you what I do love is Nurse Jackie. That's a great show.
Oh,
if I was in the hospital, she'd definitely have to be my nurse.
No kidding.
I don't want anyone to misinterpret and be upset by the caller referencing a show called Hung. It is not about a giant penis. It's just a documentary about the former American Idol contestant, William Hung.
That's right.
All it is.
That's
it's
all
very,
it is.
Very, very safe.
That's right. And they even edited his language just to make sure it was safe for little children.
Exactly. No, that's a good tip, Jamie. I haven't checked it out yet, but I have heard really, really good things about it. I'm glad you reminded us of that. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Alex. Alex, please be careful not to offend.
I won't offend nobody.
All right.
Yeah.
That's bad language. That's offensive to some
people.
Yeah,
I'm offended.
Double negative, man. Somebody's already writing a letter somewhere. There's an English teacher in Kansas now. You've just upset.
People are sticklers for grammar, man. What are you going to do?
Hey, did you guys hear about why Artest is going to wear number 37 for the Lakers next year?
It's awesome. Tell the listeners they'll love it.
Because of the 37 consecutive weeks, Thriller was number one.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, Ron Artest did a rap song for Michael Jackson.
The best song ever.
Which we're going to have to play today, I think.
I would like to hear that song.
We got to play that.
I think he's the player in the NBA that I hate the most on the team that I love the most now.
Isn't
it interesting, though, that he has already made so many headlines? He hasn't even played a minute for the Lakers yet, but everybody's talking about Ron Artest.
Dude, I'm telling you that they're going to have a special wing at TMZ just to follow Ron Artest.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
goes out late, he parties, he's just crazy.
Wow.
He was going to get 50. It was the number he originally wanted because of how old Michael Jackson was when he died.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that might be too obvious a reminder and too painful for the fans. So he's like, I'll go with 36.
Why doesn't he get number 10, which is the average age? Oh, wait. I better.
Hey, now.
Can't.
I was almost offended.
Sorry.
Now, is he going to regret the decision to tie his number into Michael Jackson? I mean, I know it seems like a nice tribute now because the news is fresh of Jackson's death, but a year from now, is he going to go, what am I doing? Why am I wearing stupid number 37 for the Thriller album?
No, a year from now, he's going to be going, wow, I'm only making $6 million a year.
I'm going to go play for Houston.
I'm worth way more than that because all the other players are making more. That's right. What's going to be happening with Ron Artest because he's an a-hole.
Let's talk to Arthur. He's on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Hey, Arthur. Welcome to the show. What it do?
What's going on?
I was thinking, what you guys think is worse, having to go to work or to the DMV?
That depends on your work.
Yeah, it does.
What do you do? Mess up work.
What's that?
Working in a warehouse.
Metal. Well, DMV will get you some rest. I mean, you'll just have to sit there for a while waiting for your number or your name to call.
Yeah, but every time you go, you have to go and come back for something.
Listen, I hear you. It sucks. But do you like your job?
I tolerate better than all the people at the DMV.
Okay, then that's your choice. Don't go.
What do you have to go to the DMV for?
Registration, usually.
Nope. Don't do it. I say go to work and skip the DMV thing.
Can't you do that through the mail?
How does he supposed to go through the mail, Lisa?
You got to sign documents, don't you?
You what?
You have to bring your documents and sign stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, here's the question that I have for you, Arthur. Is this a choice, or don't you just have to go to the DMV?
Nah, you have to go.
Okay, well then...
Well then shut up and go.
Well then what's
Man up. Man up, dude.
What's better or worse, going to work?
Or do like most Californians and just don't worry about the registration or the insurance.
That's
just
what
get
I'm
your car
saying.
And drive.
All right, let's go to... it says Steve-O. Find that hard to believe. Hello, Steve-O. Hello, turn down your radio. That's offensive to me.
Yeah, I
as
agree.
A guy who's on the radio, to have a caller keep his radio up.
All right. Steve-O's too stupid to talk to. Let's just call it a day right there and try again tomorrow on a new day, on a new month.
All right.
On a new station.
Tomorrow's going to be the 1st of August.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's going to be very non-offensive.
Really?
Yes. We're going to have some guests on that are going to be very nice.
Okay.
And they are not going to make jokes.
You know, Olivia Munn is coming in from the Attack of the Show. We won't even reference how hot she is or that she's in the current Playboy magazine. Won't even talk about it.
Really? You won't at all?
Well, we'll see.
You won't be able to.
We'll do
it.
Our best.
Right.
But. Yeah. Michael Ian Black in the studio today.
Ah, he's funny.
Very funny.
Why is the Michael Ian got to be black?
He's occasionally offensive, though. So we got to be very careful with him.
Okay. He's very sick right now, by the way.
Is he?
Very sick. We tweeted each other last night, and I said, if you come in, you better be wearing a mask because we don't want the black death in here. And he's like, nope, I'm definitely coming in. I never cancel, and I'm not going to wear a mask. You're all going
to
get infected.
We have to figure out a way to take Twitter away from Bean.
I know,
we really do.
This?
Because it's more of a update than he's ever had before.
Now let me tell you something. Connection with Gus.
Michael Ian Black just coughed.
I'll tell you.
Yep, he just tweeted about it. I tweeted back. I hope you covered your mouth.
Can't I just thought that was good information, especially since you've been on the brink of illness anyway. The last thing you want is patient zero stopping by, right?
Can't take it.
Okay.
Spencer Pratt and Heidi Montag think that there are a lot of conspiracy theories, and the government's behind them all.
Yeah.
Can't do watching your friends have sex, because that would be... That was the plan?
Yeah.
But that's pretty... I mean, you could get offended by that.
We'll figure out a way. Maybe a euphemism. Maybe watch your friends make lasagna or something.
There you go. Good. Lasagna. Good. With meat?
No meat.
Yes, with meat. Come on. It's a sex thing.
Yeah, but people may know
that's
that
right.
The meat is a reference. Yes.
Wheelo Animals today. Wheelo Animal
good.
Voices. Fantastic. We got a lot of different animal stories. We need to figure out which to do today because they're big and we're all going to die. At the hands of the animals.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So we're trying to warn you. And Bean, when he was in Finland on vacation, pulled a radio shift.
What?
We can't get him to work here. And yet he goes on vacation to Finland, hooks himself up with a radio station, and turns back into his alter ego of Flash Phillips.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, talking over boom, tss, boom, tss, boom. Tss,
I was rocking Helsinki in drive time, man.
I'm
come
sure
on.
You were. I'm sure it was good. And we said, Bean, we've got to get the tape of that. And he goes, no tape. And everything we know about Bean tells us lie.
Yes, of course there's
a lie.
There's no reason for me to lie about it. If I had a tape, I would share it because I'm sure I would be proud of it. But I don't have one.
Liar! You are a lying liar who lies. Unless that's offensive, in which case you tell the truth all the time. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Bean.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Thursday morning. 911 truthers is going to be the topic in an unusual way that it came to our attention again this week. That's coming up in just about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph joins us with our first look at the showbiz beat for New Day. What's going on, Ralph?
We almost had another childhood fame tragedy in our hands.
Really?
Uh-oh. Turns out that former child star Jason Bateman says his early rise to fame when he was a kid actor almost ruined his life.
Why?
Because working with adults and getting money and fame at an early age is a dangerous thing for kids. He made his acting debut when he was 11 years old on Little House on the Prairie, and then he did The Hogan Family and Silver Spoons. So he was a very successful child actor, and he said that his life was like risky business for 10 years. My parents were out of town. They left me a bunch of money and a car and a house. I didn't know when they were coming home. I'd worked so hard. By the time I was 20, I wanted to play hard, and I did that really well. He said it wasn't until he met his wife, Amanda, he decided to clean up his act when she threatened to leave him.
I was going
to
say, he didn't decide that. She decided that.
Yeah. He said, I was never the place where rehab would have been appropriate, but the booze would make me want to stay out all night or smoke a joint or do whatever, so he had just shut up that part of his life. But he's glad he's grown up and gotten past that phase. But he said if he hadn't been confronted with the possibility of losing his wife, he might have turned out another way.
It is so interesting to see how some guys, you know, like Ron Howard or, you know, Jodie Foster, people like that grow up versus how the Gary Colemans of the world end up. It is, it's interesting.
You have to have an extremely strong family unit in order to survive childhood fame, I've
I have an extremely strong unit.
That's
is that
true.
Insane?
I've seen you lift weights with it.
That's what you're talking about?
Ron Howard's dad, Rance Howard, is was a really strict, sort of stern father who stayed very much involved in his kids' life and kept them on the track when they were growing up. And I think you certainly need, you need that probably guiding hand anyway in the best of situations, but when you're dealing with money and fame that come along with being a child actor, I think it really helps you. And a lot of kids don't have that.
A lot of them have parents who are trying to live off them.
Yeah, use them for it. They take their money and they're using them to fulfill some obligation they feel about their own fame that they were never able to get fulfill. When they were kids. And stuff.
Lohan.
A lot of issues. Yeah, Lohan's like that. Gary Coleman's parents are just a nightmare. Are they? Hear that story. Oh, yeah, they took his money. They stole from him and everything. Yeah. So
wow.
It's a dangerous business. This business of show. Britney Spears is a Jew again.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Britney.
Hello.
Well, you know, she's a woman of many faiths, Lisa.
Is this the Kabbalah?
She was Kabbalah for a while.
That she was?
Well, she was raised Baptist.
Right.
And she experimented with Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
She was wearing a cross last February, but apparently she has reverted back to her old standby of the Kabbalah, a form of Jewish mysticism.
And that's where you wear the red bracelet because it staves off the evil eye.
Evil eye,
it's just a jewelry choice for her.
Yeah, it is.
Another jewelry choice, she was at the Eiffel Tower in Paris last Monday because she is touring in Europe. And she was seen wearing a large Star of David necklace. She's got the Jewish star around
really?
Her neck. Yes. That's all how we know she's back to the Kabbalah.
She's committed now.
So, yes. This week, it's the Jews. Congratulations. Okay. She's all yours, boys.
She can have her.
Took the time to select that necklace. Not so much time to select a bra in those photos, if you noticed, Ralph.
I did. Keanu Reeves is considering becoming a professional chef.
Yes.
Does it mean he'll get out of acting?
I would like that.
We can only hope. He said that his new love is cooking. He's been inspired by the French chemist slash chef Hervé Thys.
Well, who hasn't?
Who has written, of course, Lisa, you know, the famous book Molecular Gastronomy, Exploring the Science of Flavor.
Wow.
Keanu says that book has changed his life.
Whoa.
Please go into cooking.
Molecules.
Please be a
make
chef.
You taste things, and there are salty, and sweet, and sour, and bitter.
No way.
It's true. John Gosselin may have another girlfriend on the side.
Wow.
The National Enquirer claims the recently separated dad of eight has not one, but two girlfriends. And is straining to juggle them both with his family commitments.
This is the John of John and Kate plus eight?
It is indeed, sir.
Or no, I guess it's John minus Kate plus eight.
That's right.
Okay.
It's Kate plus eight minus a husband. Plus two for John.
Right.
I got to tell
you. Not at the same time.
I got to tell you, it's got to be probably makes his head spin to have a woman be nice to him.
Yeah.
Good point.
You know what I mean?
Like, any woman who's nice to him looks like the most attractive woman on the planet.
This is great.
John reportedly had a third girlfriend, but ate her.
Oh,
I don't know if you've seen him recently, but...
a little big?
John is walking right past the salad bar wherever he is eating.
My God, you've put on weight.
He's swallowing a lot of aggression, a lot with a lot of pizza.
You're fat.
they said.
Let's see if Kate has any comment about her husband.
I'm sorry. Can you stop breathing so loud, honey? He's like, breathe quietly.
Oh, wow. That is her, by the way.
She would like him to stop breathing, period.
Oh, yeah.
She's asking for. Good news.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
Good news.
Good news.
You know, I like to keep tabs on all the bad movie ideas.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of them lately.
Just announced. The Smurfs. Yes, the Smurfs are coming back.
Just in time.
For what?
I don't know.
Smurfs are returning to the big screen. I don't know if they were ever there yet, but they certainly are going there. It'll be a live-action slash animated movie entitled Smurfs, which will hit cinemas over Christmas 2010.
Live-action slash animated.
I'm guessing the Smurfs come to visit us here in our world, and some wacky person, probably Jason Lee,
sure,
will have to interact with CGI animated Smurfs and get all Smurfy on them.
Okay.
It'll be Smurftastic.
Does hilarity ensue?
He will Smurf the Smurf out of those Smurfs. The good news is, just when I thought, you know, this doesn't sound like a good idea to me personally, they supported the idea. I'm much more inclined to think this might turn out well, because the director is the same guy who gave us Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
Yes!
So I know we're in good shape.
Guy knows what he's
doing. Should be a good time.
Oh, wait.
Mike, you loved that movie, didn't you?
Yep. I like Beverly Hills Chihuahua. I loved Hotel for Dogs.
Right.
Like, that was my movie.
Well, now that they've expanded the Oscar Best Picture race, man, there's a chance for you in your films.
He loved Hotel for Dogs.
Yeah. I'm hoping Mike falls asleep on his 20-year-old mistress sometime soon.
As am I.
That's all I'm hoping. Pop, 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 pop. Pop. Steve McNair.
One last one.
You want me to be murdered?
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying.
I do, too.
Rob, in Beverly Hills Chihuahua, there's an Aztec temple where they're all Chihuahuas. And they have Aztec headdresses. Oh.
Did you just smack him in the nuts?
Yep. Sure did.
Thank you so much.
Too close to the microphone and taking too many liberties.
You're a good man.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Chris Cooper. How good is Chris Cooper?
Always great.
He, for those of you who don't know, he was
Who is
in... he was in Seabiscuit. He was the trainer of the horse Seabiscuit in Seabiscuit.
Anything since then?
Born Identity.
Born Identity. He's been in both of those.
Sure.
He was in Adaptation.
Yeah, probably. You probably remember he got his big break in American Beauty with Kevin Spacey.
That's right.
He played the next door neighbor in that film.
Anything's ringing a bell, Kevin.
Yeah, the Born
Identity is ringing a bell. Movie where he was.
The Born movies ring a bell.
The Born movies?
No. He was a spy. Yeah, with Ryan Phillippe.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember the name.
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Anyway. He's an excellent actor who's always good in everything he does. So we celebrate his birthday today.
We have come up with six movies and you still don't know.
Kevin's got that look. It's like trying to explain geometry to a dog.
I got the Bourne Identities. I said I got it. Yeah.
You know who he is in the Bourne Identities?
Yes, he's one of the CIA guys.
Oh, F you.
He is.
F you. He's the woman who's his handler. Jimmy Smits, my old co-star from NYPD Blue, is 53 years old today. He, of course, most recently was seen on Dexter. Most recently. Yeah. Tom Hanks also celebrates his 53rd birthday. Hack. Yeah, talentless loser. Speaking of which, Courtney Love celebrates her 45th birthday. What? Fred Savage. Remember him? His little little Timmy on Lassie?
No.
I don't think he was Timmy on Lassie.
He was the
World of Wonder.
Kid,
World
right?
of Wonder.
He was that guy in The Bourne Identity.
That's right. Uh-huh. He's 33 years old today. Dan Estrin of Hoobastank. They sure did. He is 33 years old today. And Keeley Williams of 3LW.
Hmm.
Anything? Anyone?
Mm-mm.
I think she was also one of the Cheetah Girls, maybe. Anything? Anybody?
Good work on the birthdays, King.
I can scratch that off.
King's still sleeping. This is
he's not here?
This is Miss Cleo who cobbled this together for me, so I'm doing my best I can to translate it from the original Sanskrit. and Kelly McGillis, who was in Top Gun, of course.
Oh, my God.
There you go, yeah.
And now is in Top Bagel. Her new movie.
I don't even understand.
I'm the only one who got it.
It's 52 years old today. Thank you, Psycho Mike. No, I'm sorry you got punched in the balls.
Thanks.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Why can't our show be one of those like Access Hollywood or the E! News Daily and The Soup that just boycotts Spencer and Heidi? Why can't we be one of on that list of
it's
people who don't talk about Spencer and Heidi anymore?
It is too fun.
It's really too fun. I don't know.
I agree.
The latest story is they went on Alex Jones' radio show. Now, Alex Jones, for those of you that don't recognize the name, is conspiracy theorist number one.
Okay.
He's a nut job. Right? He's a nut job. He's the guy that put together Loose Change, which is the video on the internet that all of the people who think our own government did, you know, September 11th,
right,
that it was our people that did it, and it was all a giant hoax. He's the one that put out that video.
Well, that's the thing about these New World Order guys, is everything is being controlled by the Illuminati or some sort of super secret group of government people around the world. I mean, they're the same people who believe that the financial collapse that's been going on,
right,
the last couple of years is intentional, that the government does it on purpose because that way they get more control and they're, you know, stealing everything from you and on and on and on.
Everything is orchestrated by this, right, shadowy group.
This shadowy group is good.
And Spencer and Heidi apparently got a hold of one of this dude's books, and they were on his show,
wow,
this past week. And we thought we got to get him on the phone and find out just exactly what's going on. So we have Spencer Pratt.
Hey.
Heidi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for having us on. I'm so excited.
Sure.
Are we sure that this is a secure line?
It's not a secure line at all. It doesn't matter if it is.
Is Bean your real name?
Yeah. You guys were on Alex Jones' show, and you were talking about the Obama deception and how our new president is part of this whole shadowy group.
That's right. The way the government and the Shriners.
Shriners?
What?
Yes, and Opus Dei.
Right.
They all try to pull the wool over our eyes and keep us blind to the reality.
What's the reality,
so what's the
Spencer?
Yeah.
It's all a lie. Everything
right.
you think is true, it's not. Isn't that crazy?
Okay,
word,
but what is
word,
what's
yeah.
the goal?
Word
what's the goal?
Up.
Right, but what's the goal? What are they trying to do by bringing down the towers in New York and by making the U.S. economy collapse? I mean, how is that good for America?
Oh, maybe you haven't seen the statistics that over 97% of the people that died in the Twin Towers were thin, and that all the women in the Twin Towers were size zero. And it's clearly a conspiracy by overweight women to rid the world of their competition.
What?
It's very simple.
And non-Christians.
What up, Jesus?
I mean, I bet you even believe that Area 51 doesn't really exist and that we don't have aliens among us.
Well,
silly people.
So right. aliens are among us?
I bet you believe that President Kennedy was killed by Lee Harvey Oswald. I mean, that's so simple.
What? They totally shot JFK.
That's right.
What?
Who?
Perez Hilton.
Perez Hilton?
Buddy of mine.
Yeah.
But he killed the president.
He didn't kill anyone.
He wasn't born.
Right. He wasn't born in 1995 when JFK died. Don't be dumb, Linda. Okay. This is getting serious.
Wow.
This is getting serious, and your ignorance is really threatening the existence of the public as a whole.
Spencer, your anger. Okay, think about Jesus' love right now.
No. I don't want to think about Jesus.
Kevin and Bean.
I would
okay?
like. I'd like to
can
see.
I
bet you
Kevin,
think Jesus was the Son of God, and all the stuff in the Bible's true.
I would like to suggest that perhaps the Christian community doesn't want you, Heidi, speaking for them. I'm saying.
Don't do it, my queen. Don't worry about it. Don't even listen to this guy.
I am a disciple of Christ, Kevin. It's not your fault. You can't appreciate that.
But I'm saying perhaps you don't need to speak for anyone but yourself.
Look it, buddy. Listen to me. I'm starting to get a little bit agitated.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And I'm a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt.
You're not.
I train every day.
You're not.
Man.
I don't think you've never done that.
I'm an Apache Indian.
You're not.
I'm a rickshaw builder.
You're not. Now you.
I'm an OBGYN.
You're not that either.
I am.
Spencer and Heidi on the phone, you say, quote, and this is the part that scares me, we've been nonstop researching the internet for information for at least a month, all day, every day.
Oh,
wow.
The internet is huge.
It is.
Big kid.
But you know that's not...
Have you Googled? That's
yes.
crazy.
Yeah.
But Heidi, you understand that not everything on the internet is true. Anyone can put up anything they want, whether it's fact-based or not. You can't believe it.
I was at Wikipedia, and they had a little asterisk next
right.
to it, and it went to another website, so it was sourced.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but okay.
What about the birth control that you're now against?
Oh.
Because this is the thing that concerns me.
Lauren, are you going to kill yourself?
He
Lauren, are you depressed?
Yeah. Lisa, my name is Lisa.
Okay. Linda, you don't
okay.
think
don't
this
take
disgusting
it.
Kills
but
don't
my
do
fear
it.
Is that you two aren't using birth control. That's the scariest part of this whole story, is that you're going to start reproducing. What's your problem with birth control?
My
a lot of people
body?
Don't want a kid at a certain time or can't afford one.
Oh,
excuses. My body belongs to Jesus Christ, not to Yaz, okay?
Yeah.
Or Depo or any of those
None
evil
of that.
Things.
And I actually physically removed her uterus because it weighed 3 pounds.
I think we're on different topics here.
I said, I'm going to just remove that from you.
Well, now you don't need birth control.
Correct, Linda. Correct,
Lisa.
Linda.
Lisa.
And Bartles and James, you guys need to listen to me, okay? Because everything's starting to get very serious.
Okay.
Like the Cold War.
Cold War in the 80s?
With Patrice Russian.
Huh?
With the Russians in the United States?
Yeah.
That ended.
That's what you think.
It did end.
And Jesus is Ed Hardy.
What are you talking about?
Yep. I have one of his hoodies.
Word.
What about global warming? That's made up too,
yeah.
Right?
It is not hot at all. Have you been out to Tarzana lately? It is totally chilly.
Let's the government is concerned about it getting hot outside, okay? I think that they're trying to accommodate the ugly fats by making it colder. And then everybody would have to layer up and put on clothing.
It sounds like perhaps you, Spencer, and you, Heidi, are coming from different positions. Because, Heidi, you seem to be speaking as if you're a Christian, and Spencer seems to be speaking as if he hates fat people.
I'm speaking on the behalf of the truth.
Well,
okay?
Jesus wasn't fat. That's all I'm saying. Have you seen pictures? Okay.
Totally shredded.
Have you been to a church lately?
He was
a really pretty white guy.
Did you know tampons had calories?
What?
I can't do this.
What are you talking about?
It's true.
Hey, isn't that illegal? My mom said that one time. I don't know.
Okay, let me close with this. Here's a quote from a recent Spidey interview. We used to have a phenomenal relationship with the media. They've kind of turned on us now because they've created us into such a monstrous thing. Like they made us too big. They Obama-sized us. What does that even mean, you guys?
Obama-sized?
What does it mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand. My ears are not that big.
First off, I am the sommelier of the Waldorf Astoria.
You're not.
I am a mermaid.
You're not a mermaid,
I'm
Spencer.
Nick Kershaw.
You're none of these things. You're not.
I'm a Tony Award winner 3 times.
You've not won a single Tony Award.
3 times.
No, not three times, Heidi. No,
that's
none.
Right. Yeah.
Did you hear my queen? Don't even address them. I'm sitting here looking at the beach in Malibu. What are you doing? Your little radio show? Who wins
right.
here?
I'm gonna ask again that we re-vote on ignoring Spidey and Heidi and Spencer. Who's with me?
I think I'm with you.
I am too.
I'm good.
I think
so.
To live your life behind
because
the sheet of blindness, that's your choice. But remember at the end of the day that Brody Jenner, spelled backwards, is Nejarv.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that.
All right, now I'm back on board. All right, how did this topic get started? Was it Psycho Mike telling stories again?
Yes, it was creepy Psycho Mike.
Lisa asked me about my weekend when we came in earlier week.
That's right.
And I told her, and then she said, I don't get this. It doesn't make sense.
Why don't you describe...
What is wrong with you? That was the other thing I said.
Why don't you describe to the listeners, and you're not good at this, so try to censor yourself as much as you can, what your weekend was.
I went to a bar / kind of club deal with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we sang karaoke, and everybody had a great time.
What song did you sing?
I sang my Standby, Whip It, from Devo.
Because
I got my own dance that goes with it.
All right.
And then I watched my friend fornicate with a woman who's on her deathbed.
Who's on her deathbed,
yeah.
So that's where it gets weird. That's where Mike's weekend goes from, that was interesting.
Left, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. To you watched your friend fornicate?
Yeah.
People do that every single day. Watch their friend.
I think if the
have their way with someone,
if the opportunity is there, they do. I mean, the opportunity isn't there every day, but any chance I get,
which has happened many times to you.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a group of guys that I imagine reciprocate.
Yeah, that's true.
This is what I don't get, and I was right there with Lisa on being confused by this, and you know, maybe I'm out of the loop, maybe I'm not happening like the kids are, but my experience has been that that's a private mommy-daddy thing that you do away from the kids, that it's not necessarily a group share thing.
Well, it is dad.
It is if it's a girl that you would all care about. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think, you know, my friends that are married, we don't go around and go, hey, dude, you want to come over and watch me and my wife knock it out? But,
you're about one step away from that, by
you
the way.
Are.
No.
Yeah.
There's not much difference between the two.
And also, Lisa, you got to remember that what separates men and women, or at least perverted men like me, women, for the most part, will have sex with a man for two reasons. Because they're really attracted to him and they just can't help themselves.
Or cash.
Or they feel some type of intimate connection or a bond that they want to share in the most special way. Men, like I said, or men like me, will have sex with a woman for the same reason they play PlayStation, because it's something to do. And also,
I understand why men have sex. There's a lot of different reasons, but I don't understand why they invite you to come watch
them.
Well,
there's been...
And I don't understand why you go.
Tell us how that came down. How did it come down that night when you were at the bar, and then someone said something which led you back to the...
Well, yeah, I drive most of my friends all the time because I don't drink. So I end up being the driver. And the club was really loud and there's a lot going on. And next thing I know, when we were getting ready to leave, there was this girl coming with us who didn't arrive with us. And
right.
I was like, oh, are we giving her a ride? What's the deal? And my friend says, yeah, we're going to do her a favor. And I said, okay, fantastic. And we went back to his apartment. And
you all knew what that meant. Did she know what that meant?
Oh, yeah.
Was she drunk? Was she?
I don't think
what
so.
What was she?
No.
She's
a goer.
She's
all.
Dying.
Oh, yeah. She was suffering from cancer and was bald.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
So you mean literally physically?
It just gets worse and worse.
You mean literally physically dying?
Yeah.
Well, that's terrible.
Why?
Well,
because she shouldn't have sex because she's going to die.
No, she shouldn't have you witnessing it.
I didn't hide out and check. She was perfectly open with doing it.
I was
watching Sarah Marshall on a TV, and I turned around, and to my right, that's going on. It wasn't as if I.
Let's take a call
from
Cole.
Sure, couldn't get up and leave.
Let's take a call from Cole.
Lisa's right. Every minute, this story gets creepier.
Hey, Cole.
Hey, how long have you been openly bisexual?
That was my question.
I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's anything
homoerotic, dude. You gotta call it.
Why is it homoerotic to watch a guy have sex with a girl? I don't understand.
Now
that.
Guys watch porn, and there are men
right.
in porn. So
that's
I have
rhetorical.
To say, what?
It's rhetorical.
That's rhetorical. Openly bi.
Openly bi. All right. Thank
okay.
You.
I mean, there's no correlation to homosexuality.
By the way,
at all.
That guy hung up on himself. Openly bi. Click.
He should have. By the way, it was a retarded theory.
Okay,
but here's what.
But the question is, do you really want to see your friend?
Well, yeah,
that.
That's it. That's exactly what it
what
is.
He said. That's what Cole was saying.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, I do. And
the answer is
for
yes.
the most part, it's for comedy's sake.
Right.
There are women my friends have had sex with that I almost can't believe it's possible to have sex with a girl that ugly and fat. Like I almost can't believe it. I have to physically.
Wow, you're ugly.
I have to lay eyes on it. With you know.
Why are you bad?
And then also, there's the times when a girl's hot a girl and you actually want to see her naked.
How many times does this happen, say, in an average, I don't know, year? Does it happen once a month, once a week?
In a year?
Yeah.
30
times.
What?
So almost 3 times a month.
Okay. A month.
This cannot be normal behavior.
It can't be. I agree. How many times do the girls, are they aware of it? How many times do you hide in the closet?
Out of the 30. The hide in the closet deal, that only happens maybe 10% of the time. And like I said, that's when a girl is actually attractive and has self-respect and stuff and probably wouldn't want all a guy's buddies hanging out watching.
Right.
So you have to.
Not
you have
that
to,
you care about
you
that.
You have to play Showtime.
But all of the other ones are fine with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or
these
too
are,
drunk
the,
to know.
No, yeah, these are
they
these,
too drunk to know?
These are usually bar hags, and I have a couple friends that almost challenge themselves to see who can get uglier, and that becomes the.
So you start looking through the bar to find the champion of ugly.
Yeah, and there's some champs, and there's some champs.
You are a champ.
So basically, I'm with Lisa in that I totally understand the guy'll have sex with anyone. I totally understand. Hey, let's go hog, and I get all that. But the part that turns it for me that I don't understand is hey. All of my friends watch me have sex. That's the part that I just don't think is very common.
I think it's entertainment, and I think it is a little more common than you believe. I'm not going to sit here and say every guy does this. This is totally normal. But I will venture to say that guys like firemen, policemen, military, construction workers, you know, kind of the atypical macho dudes do this a lot. I believe that's true.
I hope that's not true.
We got to find out. We got to take some calls on this at 1-800-520.
1067. Guys or girls, if you have experience with this, I want to hear from you. And I also,
especially
in the next,
girls.
Especially girls. Yeah, if you've been part of this, what's up?
You're fine also, with all your friends watching.
When we come back and we take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067, I also want to have the Grand Master of the Sex U come in and tell us what his experience has been with this. Because, let's face it, if it goes on in the world of sex, Ralph knows about it.
All right.
Right? He'll give us names, numbers, and statistics. He'll be dialed in on this. Because I just can't imagine this is that common. I just can't.
That's because, A, you don't have sex. B, you don't have friends.
Yeah.
So in your life, it's double not positive. Not possible, I mean.
I'm actually more shocked by being able to invite a house full of people over to watch than I am finding someone to have sex with. That's the part that I can't get my head around.
1-800-520-1067.
Hear my whole thing, Psycho Mike. I like you. I like Kevin. I like Ralph. I like Dave. I don't want to see any of you naked, and I don't want to see any of you having sex.
Hang on one second.
This program contains adult content and is not meant for children.
All right. Back to you. Hey. So if we're – not that we ever would be, but if we were all out one night and one of you said, hey, come on back to my place. I'm going to do it with this chick we just met. I would say I don't care to see that. No.
This program contains sexually explicit dialogue. Viewer discretion is advised.
Look. The reenactments and commentary in this program may contain frank talk of a sexual nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
All right.
These images may be too shocking for young children.
One of my buddies is a painter. He's an artist. He has art exhibits. I want to go watch that because he's doing something special. One of my buddies plays minor league baseball. I want to watch that because he's going to play and he's doing something special.
If one of your buddies is interior decorating, you're in.
One of my buddies is making a woman's dreams come true. I got to be there to watch.
Ralph?
That's all I'm saying.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this more typical or less typical than we seem to think?
This is less typical.
It is, because I would have thought more.
Ralph is a very evolved man, sexually speaking, by the way.
You think it is. It's very typical, it's less than that.
Okay.
If you think it rarely happens, it happens more than you think.
It doesn't shock me.
It doesn't shock you?
Not really.
No, it doesn't shock me either. However, you guys were so quick to dismiss the caller who was floating around the world bisexuality.
Yeah.
When he called in earlier, you have to consider this, and a lot of sex therapists will say the following. If guys are really sort of hung up on watching their friends have sex and, in essence, be nude and be sexual...
Parental discretion is advised.
And Mike has already said as much, that the woman is sort of incidental.
Right.
The woman is meaningless, and there's no connection for them with the woman. She is just some object. She is just some girl with cancer that they pick up, or a hooker, or whatever. Then the only real connection for these guys is their friend.
That's the draw. That's the camaraderie for
them. That's the focus of the act for them.
If you have little children and you allow them to listen to the following conversation, you are a bad parent. A really bad parent. You are seriously up, you with your illegitimate kids and your bad judgment and whatnot.
The only connection for them is their friend. The focus on that is their friend being naked and being sexual.
You cannot discount
the sexual
nature
aspect of that relationship between those men.
So you really want to see your friends naked is what Ralph's saying.
Or
at least that has to be that has to be entertained. That idea.
I don't have any desire to see my friends naked. But
you wouldn't be looking at them having sex being naked.
I'm not going to deny that the idea of watching my friends do that isn't cool. Like, yeah, we're always the part of that of watching that is being there to like kind of cheer them on
and cheer them on.
Do you high five them based on performance?
I have in the past
with. Your hands?
Yes, with my hands. Yes, with my hands.
All right.
I mean, Ralph brings up a good point. I'm not going to sit here and deny that. Yeah, I mean, there's a certain level of intrigue in watching people you know very well, people you care about, do something like that. But I don't have any aspiration to, like, see my friends naked, nor does it turn me on sexually to see them do that. I wouldn't watch my friends do something like that by themselves. You know, I would never think, like, I would never
in a million years
if my buddy was like, hey, dude, I'm about to go have a little private time. You want to watch? I'd be like, no, wait, are you out of your mind?
Because then you would be boldly confronted with your bisexuality as being able to channel it through a woman and
this
having
way,
it out.
This way a woman can cover up your actual natural interests.
I don't see someone brought up the fact that men watch porn. I don't see really any difference except it's like watching a play instead of a movie. It's the same exact thing. It's watching.
Due to some graphic and mature content, parental discretion is advised.
It's someone you know, though.
That is the thing.
You can't discount
the friendship. You can't discount the fact that this is someone you have a relationship and a connection to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So?
I mean,
that's how it's different from porn.
Right.
That's the answer to your question.
I've had sex plenty of times in front of people in like a swinger situation, but they're mostly couples and strangers, and it's a sexualized atmosphere where that is to be expected of. I mean, that is the nature of it. It's a very sexual nature. If you are involved in a sexual situation with your friends, you cannot say it's like watching them go play a minor league baseball game. I'm sorry. You just cannot. You can't equate the two situations.
You in the past have talked about how you used to live with a bunch of dudes. You were roommates and stuff. If you brought a girl home that was open to the idea of it, they didn't every once in a while?
The girl may have been open to the idea of it. I never was open to the idea of it.
Really? You would actually actively say to men, go away, I don't want you to?
I would much rather have strangers watch me have sex with someone than to have friends that I have male friendships with.
You don't need Corolla rating you while you're going.
Hey, that's it, Ralphie. Give her the high five.
The following program contains dialogue of a sexual nature. If you have kids or you are offended when other people use the words tits, f***er, blowj*** or asshole, proceed with caution.
Yeah, proceed with
caution. I don't know why they would say that. Can we try to squeeze in at least a couple calls before we run out of time? Let's start with Tony, because, Mike, you brought up people in the Army, in the service, firemen, policemen, that sort of thing, and I think that's where Tony's calling from. Hey, Tony, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What say you?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, we had an open door policy, basically, up in Washington in the Army. That policy was either join in or get the hell out.
Join in, see?
Now, joining in is different.
Doing the wobbly H?
I mean, I've been in situations with friends where there has been, you know, I don't know how to say this delicately, but
a train leaving the station.
If you're willing to share with your friends, and there's you know, an Amtrak situation going on.
Okay,
that's one thing.
Okay, but wait, Tony, if you're not joining in, you don't watch.
Well, yeah, you can watch.
I thought there you said is. Join in or there leave.
Yeah, you're sitting there, might as well cheer them on, you know.
Cheer him on.
Attaboy! Attaboy! Yeah, I've never seen sex really as an event that needed a lot of cheering or audience participation. I pretty much got it handled.
You want to support your team member.
I don't need your support. I think I know what I'm doing. I'm good.
Yeah,
thanks.
Does the guy need the support?
Sometimes, guys, honestly, if a girl's ugly enough, you need support.
With this guy, you want to support him.
If she's ugly, you're going, defense! Defense!
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's talk to TK real quick. He's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, this is a hell of a way to start your morning before 7 o'clock, isn't it?
Sure is.
TK, go ahead.
Completely agree. I'm in the military also, and we definitely have an open door policy.
Okay,
if the door is open, it's for a reason.
Is that because what Mike was saying, if you're a group of closely group-knit of guys, that you kind of share everything? Is that what that's about?
Yeah.
So if you're on a basketball team,
it's not a big deal to see someone naked. Yeah, exactly. It's a camaraderie.
Camaraderie. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
I think the stuff you do together isn't enough.
Yeah. What more do you need to do than fight and maybe die together?
Exactly. See, you have nothing else to lose. I mean, we do it all the time. We just did it last week where I was watching my friend, and it's just not a big deal.
Because you guys may be dead tomorrow, and you just don't give a rat's ass anymore.
I've done it in front of a lot of girls' friends also. They have their friends.
They do the same thing?
They do the same exact thing. What? I wish you had some female callers right now.
We do.
Believe me, we do.
We just haven't gotten to them yet. So, TK, let me ask you about the girl aspect, because Mike was saying that most of the time the girl – I'm sorry, Mike, I don't remember. Most of the time the girl does know she's being watched or does not know.
Overwhelming majority of the time, the girl's in on it, or else we wouldn't do that. I mean, there has been times, I'm not going to lie, there has been times where a girl doesn't know and we'll hide out in the closet just because she's hot and we want to see her. But
does your cell phone ring?
No. But for the most part, it's you don't do this to a girl to embarrass her. It's, you know, she's in on it. She's down with the fact. It's in a public party or at a gathering where she's aware that people are right there watching.
Exactly. She'll be down with the pack.
And All right.
They are not... The second we find out we can do stuff like that, they are not in a relationship circle. They do not fit the circumstances.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. You punish the woman for allowing you to watch.
Yeah.
No, we don't punish her.
She's not relationship material anymore.
She's not good enough for you.
Now suddenly she's a whore, but you're a saint.
All right. Thank you for the question.
Yeah. You're not going to marry a girl that allows all your friends to watch her tax that ass.
Why would a girl marry a guy that does what you do?
Because women are desperate and need men.
That's a whole other phone
call. Well, let's talk to Stephanie because we really only have time for one more. So let's get the female perspective. Stephanie, you've had the opportunity to listen to a lot of this conversation. What do you have to add?
Well, it was me and my homegirls, and I had sex with the male, and it was my two homegirls watching, and they said they loved it.
Yeah,
and it was so easy, it was comfortable, it was nothing, not a big deal.
So, are you the one that invited them?
No, we were at a friend's house, and it was late in the early in the morning, and as everyone left, my two homegirls got the idea of, hey, let's put Stephanie to have sex with someone that I had already been sleeping with,
right?
And let's all watch. And
okay, let me ask you this, Steph. Would you do it the way Mike's described, where it's you and a room full of guys, and a bunch of guys are watching you have sex?
No.
No, but they're your girlfriends, so...
It's the same exact thing, just the opposite for Stephanie, in that she's letting her friends of the same-sex watch.
But you had to do it, Steph, in order to get into the gang, right?
It's either that or shooting somebody with their headlights on.
They jump you in, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. That's what we needed to know.
Thank you, Lisa. You know what sucks is that fire in the Sepulveda Pass
and
trying to drive through that?
Yes.
So let's not set fires there.
Okay, gotcha.
Good advice.
Can we make that happen?
Look who's talking.
Sure. Because
look
it's really
who's talking, Firebug.
All
it's
right,
look who's talking, Human Torch.
World famous K Rock at 6:56.
The beautiful Olivia Munn from G4 joining us next hour. Also, we're going to spin the wheel. Oh, animal voices. That's all straight ahead right now. Rob's got the showbiz beat for Thursday morning. What's going on?
Really? The wheel of animal voices?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Well, right on time, the schedule.
Man. Do that every day if
you
we could.
Guys don't ever learn your lessons, ever. Regarding anything. That's my new take on this whole situation.
That's new to you?
Yeah.
Really?
Because, you know, I mean, I hope springs eternal, and I keep trying to school you and say, that's a bad idea, right. And it fails every time we do it. And then you'd think you guys would say, hey, he's right. This is horrible every time we do it. Let's not do that anymore.
Nah. Yeah. Not horrible. It's great.
And by great?
I mean horrible.
Yeah, of course you do. Ah, big brouhaha going on in the UK.
Uh-oh.
That's the United Kingdom for you and me. The tabloids over there are even worse than they are here in these United States, if you'd believe it or not.
That's what I've heard.
They make us look tame.
They really do. And there's a new scandal about a particular tabloid, which really may have crossed the line, called News of the World. The editor of this paper was jailed for 4 months in January in 2007 for intercepting, in quotes, voicemail messages left for Prince William on his phone.
Wow.
They hacked into his voicemail system on his cell phone.
Just like they did to his mother, remember?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, they did.
They hacked
remember?
Her cell phone?
Yeah, she was having conversations with that guy. She was having an affair with.
And her boyfriend who said he wanted to be her tampon, remember?
Oh, right. Yeah.
And just like they did with Fred Durst, remember?
I think that's a different story.
Oh.
Anyway, it turns out there may be more celebrities who have been hacked by the News of the World than previously we were led to believe. Another newspaper called The Guardian has released a story saying Hollywood stars, including Gwyneth Paltrow and Jude Law, have been the victims of the tapping, wiretapping, as well as Elle McPherson, supermodel.
Wow.
They say they have been accessing their voicemail messages for some time now, listening in, hoping to pick up juicy gossip for their newspaper. And the News of the World, according to the story, has paid out $1.5 million in hush money to celebrities in out-of-court settlements trying to avoid a full-scale investigation of this phone tapping scandal. So
we'll
have to wait and see what happens. But if you're going to tap someone's phone, Gwyneth Paltrow, really?
Yeah, really? That's your choice?
Well, she's got a lot of famous friends. You might get some dirt on Madonna that way.
Chris, could you pick up more sprouts when you get home? And I need new yoga mat, please. Boring. You know, it's not boring.
What?
This scoop, this smoking hot scoop about Lorenzo Lamas and his ex-wife, Shauna Sand. You know who Shauna Sand is?
No.
If you watch
she used to be. I don't know she is now.
If you watch the TMZ, they love Shauna Sand. They'll do an ongoing bit called Stripper or Shauna Sand.
Okay.
Where it's like her like pumping gas, but she's got like a fishnet dress on with nipple clamps. And she's just like going to the supermarket, looking like a total whore. She split up with her husband, actor Lorenzo Lamas.
Giant size cans.
In 2002. Now, according to the Star, we know why the marriage came to an end.
She was a whore?
Well, apparently, even more than she was an excellent stepmother. I know that because Lorenzo Lamas came home apparently and found her having sex with his son,
whoa!
AJ.
Really? Whoa!
Apparently, he was 18 at the time, but he did catch his ex-wife Shauna doing the sexy times with his son AJ while they were married.
Whoa!
All right, let's.
Whoa! Oh man!
Let's ask Psycho Mike, do you let your dad watch when you're having sex with your mom?
That's a good question.
Yes, I do.
He's not here right now. We'll get his answer later. But
that was my Psycho Mike.
The friend says, Shauna came on to AJ. It was the ultimate betrayal. At the time, Lorenzo had no idea. He was in the dark about the whole thing. But when he discovered, as you can imagine, he was quite upset. He thought the whole time Sean was acting like a mom to AJ. He had no clue that she was his son's lover.
She breastfeeding?
How about that? Look, she was doing the motherly thing of trying to teach him about the birds and bees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're not blood related, for God's sake.
Woody Allen.
That's really, come on. Woody How wrong Allen. Can that be?
Woody Allen.
I can't hear what you're saying at all.
Woody Allen.
What are you saying? I'm not kidding. No, it's not ringing any bells.
Woody
Today's
Allen.
Celebrity birthdays, Richard Roundtree. Very talented African-American actor. He's been around for
Isn't
a long, long time.
Isn't that cat as sharp as a bad mother?
Wow.
That was the weakest champ that I've ever heard.
Well, you kind of need to butt in. You need to do your part of the line on top of mine.
What did he say? Was a bad mother? I don't even know what you're doing.
Come on.
Tail end there.
Come on, Richard Roundtree.
He was
Shaft. I don't even know what that is.
He was, in fact, Shaft.
So you are talking about Shaft.
I'm talking about Shaft. He is 67 years old today. Brian Dennehy. You know, character actor Brian Dennehy.
The one that Kevin fell asleep to.
Oh, that's right. I forgot when we were in New York. Kevin and I went to see Brian Dennehy starring in Death of a Salesman, one of the great all-time American plays.
But we'd been out all night.
Yes, we had. Both of us had been out all night.
And it was dark and cold.
I managed to stay awake through the classic play starring a powerful actor, Brian Dennehy, and Kevin was sawing logs in the third row.
You got to catch some sleep sometime.
Brian Dennehy should come off that stage and just punch you right in the balls. Chris Cooper, another talented actor, is 58. John Tesh, who used to host Entertainment Tonight.
Uh-huh.
Then he starts making elevator music, and now look at him now.
What's he doing now?
I have no idea.
Okay. He's got one of the hottest nationally syndicated radio shows in America. He's on hundreds and hundreds of stations. He's making Mad Bank.
57
I'm
years
sorry,
old
today. Bean, what's he making?
Mad Bank. That cat is sharp as a bad mother.
Oh, dear God.
Jim Smits from NYPD Blue and from other things, like Dexter. Jimmy Smits is 53 years old today. Tom Hanks also turns 53. Kelly McGillis, who was in Top Gun and Witness, and now she's in Top Bunk with her girlfriend. She's 52 years old today. And Courtney Love, our old pal Courtney Love, who needs a sandwich.
Yeah.
She needs a big meal. She is skeletal.
I haven't seen her in a while.
Sad. Not looking strong. She's 45 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show. There's an animal on the phone. Let's call them and talk to the animal.
Ralph, you have a bad attitude, I'd like to say.
That's a given. But doesn't make this a good bit.
Regardless
of my attitude, this is not a good idea.
Comedy is
for
what
radio
makes this
comedy.
A good bit.
No, it does not.
We find funny stories in the news that involve animals.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you call them. And
our
then
producer Alex got
no,
someone
she
on the phone.
You call them. And then I end up doing a silly voice.
Right.
And then you say, hey, this animal can talk.
Right.
And then we talk about the story with the animal.
Hilarity ensues.
You have to look at it from our perspective, which is we read a story about the mega ant super collie that's going to take over the world. It's already bigger than Argentina. And we go, hey, that's an interesting story. We have the chance to talk to those ants.
No,
why wouldn't we want to do it?
You don't. You don't really talk to the ants. You talk to one of us doing a silly voice as an ant, and then it ends up being lame and sad.
The only way we've gotten Ralph to agree to this is that we've put them all on a wheel. And every once in a while, we'll spin the wheel of bad animal voices, and then it'll land on one, and then that's the story that we'll do. That's the animal that we'll talk to.
I'm suggesting maybe we do away with the wheel.
I'm suggesting the British escape artist chimps are on the wheel.
Sure.
The zombie fire ants are on the wheel. The pimpin' chimps. A lot of chimp stories.
Well,
on the wheel.
We're taking over the world, you know.
K-Rock stone squirrel. Russian dog girl.
Oh, now that's just sad. Now that's technically a human, but she was raised by dogs, so that's how she makes the wheel.
The attacking Komodo dragon, the gay German penguins.
I'm dying to talk to the gay German penguins. Masa! Eventually, it's going to land on.
And the
or go see their new movie at midnight tonight.
And the aforementioned Argentinian mega colony ants. So
I want to find out what's up with them, too.
We're going to spin the wheel.
Say, maybe let's rethink this and not do it. What do you say?
Let's see what it lands
let's
on.
Let's spare the audience. As well as our own souls.
Didn't like where it was going.
Keep spinning?
Just hitting it every once in a while.
This is why they won't let you back on Wheel of Fortune, by the way. Cheat.
It is the British escape artist chimp.
Yeah.
How about that? Can't wait.
This is one of the newer stories, too, which I'm excited about.
What happened? The chimps escaped from where?
There were 30 chimpanzees that escaped from the zoo.
Oh, wow.
I don't think they got out into the public area, but they escaped, and the zoo had to close and evacuate everyone.
Yeah.
Because 30 angry chimps running around.
They can
Well, what did they escape from then if they didn't get into the public area?
They escaped from their area.
But they didn't get out of the zoo.
Right.
Is what he
said. Oh, I see. They were still stuck in the zoo, but they but they did get out of their enclosure. And they weren't having it anymore.
I'm sure.
If there's one thing we learned, wasn't it, what was it that killed the kid up in San Francisco? The kid
that was
the
a tiger
there.
Or something.
Oh, that was a tiger, yeah. But in general, you just don't want the animals to get out of their cages and then mix with the zoo visitors. I think that's the lesson we've all learned.
That does seem bad. So this story happened in England.
Mm-hmm.
Our producer Alex has lined up, I believe, the person who runs the zoo there.
Oh, no way. Really?
Yeah. Hello, sir.
Oi, how you doing?
Very good. Thank you. What's your name?
My name is Chim Chim.
Chim Chim, you run the zoo there?
No, I'm the monkey.
You're a monkey?
I'm the leader of the monkeys that escaped.
And you're answering the phone?
That's right, I'm a talking monkey.
Isn't it a bigger story that you can talk?
So, Chim, what could you tell us about you and your 29 friends and what happened the other day when you caused such a scene?
We were this close to making a break for it.
And what was your plan?
Trust me, next time we will.
Okay, but what was your plan once you got out?
Well, first thing first, get to Amy Winehouse and get our money she owes us for our drugs.
What are you talking about?
One of us, one of the chimps, Dave, he was hooking her up with drugs for a while before she left London, and then she took off on us. So we're going to get our money back from her.
So you're not only speaking chimps, you're also drug dealing chimps?
We're drug dealing chimps. We're a gang. We're a dangerous gang of chimps.
Okay, they are a tough gang. Wow.
And then after we did that, we were going to free Bubbles.
Free Bubbles?
That's right.
Now, that's a big question. Where is Bubbles?
He's in a cage.
Where, though? Do you know?
In where they keep the monkeys.
I see.
You know, the news tells us that Michael Jackson never visited Bubbles once he got rid of him, Chim Chim.
That's what I heard. So, you know, look, no Bubbles, no peace. That's our motto.
Okay.
It's not really a motto. It's so, more of a, just a thing I just said.
All right, so then you free Bubbles, and then what?
Then,
is that when you take over?
No,
then
we stop and get a sandwich.
Stop someplace for lunch.
Get a pint of beer. Yeah, have lunch.
Okay.
Then maybe do some shopping.
Right.
And then
where do chimps shop?
Look into renting an automobile.
Renting an auto.
Yeah, so we could travel.
You can drive?
We'd like to do some traveling.
Wow.
That's of being enclosed in a cage for a long time.
I can see that.
You just want to see the world.
Sure.
Yeah, it does have to suck for you guys, I guess. So you kind of have a limited agenda plan once you get out, right? It's not exactly world domination. It's really just a sandwich and a vacation.
Yeah, we want a bite to eat and to see some things.
Okay.
We'd like to do some sightseeing.
Well, I don't blame you for wanting that.
That's right. Yeah. Look, if someone kept you in a cage for a long time, wouldn't you want to go out and see the world?
Sure. I would think so,
well,
yeah.
That's all we're asking. Just simian rights. That's all we're about.
Sure. I got you.
That makes sense. So you were this close to getting out, and then somehow the zookeeper managed to bring you back down, huh?
This close, and then someone said, oh, look, a banana. And we're what? And then we're all like distracted for a moment. And then the next thing you know, the net comes down on us.
You fall for that one every time.
Every time. We can't help it.
Wow.
It's in our genes. God damn it, we love bananas.
That's going to be your downfall. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, what a shame.
Bananas get you every time, I always say.
All right, Chim Chim.
And a nice red ass.
That too, yeah.
Very distracting.
Of course. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 22 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Next hour on the Kevin Amin Show, funny man Michael Ian Black will be here. Frankly, I don't care, because Olivia Munn is here right now, ladies and gentlemen, from
G4.
Attack of the Show, celebrating its 1,000th episode tonight on the G4 at 7 o'clock. How about that? A thousand episodes of just nonsense.
And technically, I have to say, I don't think I've done the 1,000. I don't know what my number is. I've been on for 3 years, so it's a good chunk of it, but I do not think that...
Well, you can take credit for it.
I'll take credit for it, yeah.
Why not?
There have to have been, I mean, G4 is pretty entrenched now. I think most people know what it is. But there has to have been a time in the history of that network where people thought, there's no way there's going to be enough. I guess there's still not enough to fill up the whole broadcast day because you're running cheaters half the day. But, I mean, you've managed to make a channel out of kind of a niche thing, which is technology.
Definitely. Well, I think that, you know, when we did Attack of the Show, I know they were casting like so many girls for it. And I came in and I didn't know what the network was either. And I came in and I think credit to the people who are doing it. 'Cause they said, okay, we've got Kevin Pereira, who's my co-host,
right.
who's really tech-centric and nerdy and gaming, and let's bring somebody in that's more mainstream that kind of can bridge the gap. And
so they weren't looking for a girl who knew all the same things.
Knew all the same things, but didn't have to be like that hardcore gamer, more like pop culture, more mainstream. And so when I came in, I think, you know, that's kind of what kind of glued it all together. I mean, we can talk hardcore gaming, and then I can, you know, make a joke out of it or make it silly, and we can talk about entertainment. So it just became something of its own. I don't even know how we did it, but it just something that my co-host and I kind of did together, and now it's
what were you
this
doing
thing.
Before this audition?
Before this audition, I was in Hawaii shooting a Nickelodeon show called Beyond the Break. Thanks for watching. I played a 16-year-old surfer with a bad attitude.
Oh, if I see another one of those shows.
I was so excited when I got it, though. I was just like, I'm on TV. I was so excited. It's all
I
wanted
to
do.
And you get to be in Hawaii.
Yeah. Well, I was in Waianae, which if you're from Hawaii, you know that it's not the nicest area. And but I didn't care.
So it was the slums of Hawaii?
It was the slums of Hawaii.
All right.
But I didn't care if I was in a box. As long as I could, you know, be acting and entertaining, I loved it.
Yeah. So was there some concern on your part? Hey, I want to be an actress. Now do I want to be a TV host? Were you worried that that was going to kind of derail the acting when you got the show?
Well, yeah. They offered me the job, and my agent called me. G4 called. They actually want you to become the face of the network.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's awesome. So what do I have to do? They're like, well, it's 9 to 5. I'm like, oh, no, thank you.
It's 9 to 5.
Well, that's what they said at first, because
right.
It's like, you know, we got to, the producers start at this time. I said, well, no, I mean, I can't do that. So I ended up turning it down 4 times. And it's kind of amazing that that I'm here today and I'm able to talk about the Thousands Show and all these great things have happened because of it, because in the beginning it was not even an option. I'm like, and so I ended up getting on the phone with the vice president saying, hey, I want to do this, but I can't do this time, and I want to be able to continue acting. And we somehow worked it out, and they said, look, what's good for you is good for us. Let's work it all out together. So
that's nice.
Here we are, and that's it.
So now it's basically, it's a live show, so you know, you have a certain amount of preparation for whatever you're going to be talking about, but then you go in, you cut it, and you're done, right?
Yeah, that's the best part, is the preparation comes from the producer side.
Nice.
I only laugh because I know that they're all listening, and they're thinking, preparation on Olivia's part.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like me going, what's inappropriate that I could say? How can I be racist today?
That's what we do.
Yeah.
How many minutes do you get before the show starts filming? You get there like 5 minutes before?
Well, ideally, they like me there at 12:30 to do a read-through.
Right.
I get there at 2, and I like to do my read-through in makeup. So it's 2 to 3 for makeup.
Uh-huh.
And then I kind of hang out, and I blog a lot during my... I have a tray so I can blog during my makeup.
Right.
And then I get to set around like 3:15, and then we rehearse for like 45 minutes, and then we're live from 4 to 5. And yes, when you're live, I can say whatever I want. When the producers are like, move on, move on, move on, I take out my IFB and just continue.
Nice.
Yeah. I like
it. It's live. You can't stop me.
You're an outlaw. You play by your own rules.
That's a bad attitude.
That's right. I watched the show, and I'm shocked there's any rehearsal at all, if I could be honest.
Yeah.
All right. Now,
in
the course of the 3 years at G4, you've done thousands of interviews, radio and television and internet interviews. Mm. Dave the King of Mexico on the red carpet of Transformers, though, has to be the defining moment. I know it was for his career. It has to be for your career, too. Do you remember meeting Dave that night you showed up?
I remember it vaguely.
Yeah,
okay, we have the tape here, and I'm almost afraid to play it, Kevin, because once Dave's done with Olivia, there's nothing left for us to say, as he pretty much covers it all.
Well, he does get her to open up about her personal life and all of that kind of stuff.
No, what did I say?
Not really, no.
Oh.
He's not our...
he's not your top guy?
He's not our lead interviewer, if I might say
He gets
say
you
that.
Water, usually?
We're Stolly Walmike. Okay, here we go. This is the this is him on the red carpet with you. Okay.
Why do you put yourself in this situation? You know, you are hot, obviously, and you come where all these nerds are at. You know, you're the queen of video games.
Because it's the only place where I feel special.
There you go. That's it.
That's
the whole thing. You're the queen of video games. Did you know that?
I did not. People tell me that sometimes.
That's nice.
But it is nice.
What powers?
To be the queen of anything.
What comes with that? What kind of powers do you get with the queen of video games?
There's not... I mean, you get a lot of weird gifts.
Yeah?
And you can get a bunch of people to show up in New York at a big fountain on the coldest day on a weekend to hang out with me. That's what I got.
Okay.
Well, that's
basically
I guess that's
it.
Something, right?
No, it's
that's
nothing.
What I wanted to find out about.
Let me just tell you.
I wanted to find out about these fans, about the Comic-Con crowd, because they just must go ballistic over you.
Well, you know, and that's the interesting thing about what I do and then the fan base is that it is so niche. And when I go to Comic-Con, it's like the mothership calling me home. It's like, that is where I'm supposed to be. And it's coming up soon, like July 25th.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be down there. And it's unbelievable. But to me, the fans...
Because you walk in that nerd world... And you look good, and they go, I need to get her autograph.
Well, but even so, like, there's Megan Fox who's there, and she's super hot, and there's, like, a lot of big celebrities who, you know, Malin Ackerman. There's a lot of celebrities in Comic-Con, so they get to see a lot of them. But I think there's something different with myself and the fans that I am really proud of, which is I give them, along with the press, the credit for where I'm at right now. Because when I came on, I really... just made a decision just to be myself, and my sense of humor is biting and yes, sometimes
sarcastic,
racist, yes, but and fattest, but but they get it, and so without them I wouldn't be here, and that's why on my blog there's a lot of communication, and I Twitter, and it's very
accessible.
Yeah, and I'll spend, right. You know, at Comic-Con I spent, you know, we were kicked out because there's so many fans around, they're like, it's a fire hazard, go outside, and I spent 5 hours just signing and taking pictures with each one of them because
there were only two of them, and they sat there for 5 hours.
Don't stick it out.
Kept
getting back in line after the other guy was done.
Me again.
That would be a great skit.
My eyes were closed.
It's cool. Well, I'm really tired, but that's okay. Another picture.
You have to have, though, some really scary stories of crazy video game playing, living with their mom and dad in the home fans. Sending you stuff.
No.
Yes,
yeah, what's
you
your
do.
Mail don't like, Olivia? What's your fan mail like?
Don't you lie.
My fan First of all, I'm not a liar.
You're lying.
I'm
right?
not a liar.
All right, then tell
I'm
us.
Not, I can see you right in the eye right now. I'm not a liar.
You've had crazy stalker fans.
I lie in my personal life, but not on the radio.
Okay.
There is a line.
So publicly, you don't lie, only personally.
Yes.
Okay. You have received mail that is wet, though. Tell me the truth.
Well, I got something from Seattle that was very sticky.
You got that.
All right.
Yeah.
Before we take
Glad
a break
that.
And come back with Olivia Munn and spend the next segment only talking about her Playboy photos, before we do that, the Attack of the Show 1000th episode is going to be tonight on G4. I've seen the photo on TMZ of you making out with Alan Thicke.
Yeah. So we're doing a 1000th episode, and we have so many things going on in it. And along with my audition tape that I have never seen.
Oh, how fun.
I'm so embarrassed.
Everyone else.
Yes,
well,
of course.
Right?
I come on and, well, I didn't know I was going to be going on set with lights and camera and my co-host.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wearing a wife beater, no bra, because I just thought I was doing a meeting.
That's
and it was
a great choice.
Okay,
and
then.
I was like, I thought, oh, I'm just doing a meeting. I'm kind of hippie stage right now, whatever. And it's like, everyone is going to see that. So that's embarrassing. But yes, we do something spectacular with Alan Thicke from Growing Pains. And it was my idea that I think at the end I should make out with Alan Thicke.
And you are, it turns out.
The best part is that right before we do that, everyone says, well, we're afraid to ask Alan because we don't know how his people are going to react to this and whatever. So maybe you should ask him because it's your idea. So we're standing there and we're kind of going through. So we're going to do this. He's like, okay, so we're going to do this and this. I'm going to cut to this. And I go, yeah. And then I think it'd be funny if we made out. And he goes, okay. Yeah. So then we're going to, and I go.
Wait a minute. He didn't take it seriously at all?
No, and I go, and I'm serious. And then kind of got quiet and he looked at me and he looked around and he goes, you're serious? I'm going to make out with you? Okay. So then what happened is we start rehearsing and we do it and.
I'd rehearse that over and over and over again. I need another take. I didn't feel good about that.
He kept doing it. It was the quickest rehearsals ever because we just got to the kiss. He's like, so then I'm going to do this. I'm going to hand this off. And then we kiss. And then he just. Oh, wait. And let me try it one more time. And then we hand this off. And then he would just kiss. And then it would be like up against a piano. And I was just. And we just.
He's a smart guy.
And I still smell like Old Spice.
Is that
to this day. It was shot on Monday. And
You haven't showered? Or you can't get it
just
off?
Can't get it off.
That's how strong it is, right?
It is thick. See what I did with.
You can see the makeout and more on the 1000th episode special, 2-hour special on G4 tonight at 7. More with our guest Olivia Munn when we return after this on the Kevin Bean Show. Co-host of the Attack of the Show on G4, Olivia Munn, is in our studio right now. So
hey,
I'm
guys.
Telling the affiliates now.
What a fun song.
That is great.
That's a show I want to watch.
I am telling the affiliates now that we're going long. We're keeping Olivia till noon.
Please.
We're just going to keep talking.
Well,
till
I have
noon.
To say, I'm so excited to be on the show.
Yeah.
When I found out, I was...
I doubt
it. No, on the forums, on my blog... all the fans were talking about it. They're so excited.
Fantastic.
This is a big show.
Well, we've been trying to get you on for a long time, so I'm glad it finally worked out. Now, a couple quick questions before we get to the Playboy, which is really just the best thing I've ever seen. Last year, you were ranked 99th on the Maxim Magazine Hot 100. Is that an insult, or is that still cool to be on the list?
I was just so excited. I remember reading the list with, like, boyfriends in high school and then being like, oh, that's so cool. Look at all those girls. And there I am with a very tiny picture somewhere
but
on
if you're
there.
99th, though, would you I mean, are you still happy to be on the list, or would you rather, look, just don't even put me on if I'm going to be 99th? No.
At the point, I was so happy. This year, I went up to 96.
Yes!
That's when I was kind of like,
that is a giant leap.
So like, at that rate, you'll be number one by the time you're 78 years old.
That is really exciting. Wow. I can't wait. My vagina will be so pretty then.
All right.
I'd rather not picture it, if you don't mind.
What? I would rather picture it.
Not then.
Thing two is, as you mentioned a moment ago, you're still doing the acting in addition to the TV hosting. You are in Date Night, which is the Tina Fey, Steve Carell movie. It looks so awesome.
Yeah.
And you're in a little movie I've not heard anything about called Iron Man?
It's a superhero movie about a guy who loves to iron.
That seems...
Okay.
No, I haven't heard anything about
it. I'm in Iron Man 2. I just finished shooting, and... I know I'm not allowed to say anything. It comes out May in 2010. I think I can get away with telling you guys how awesome it was on set, though. I mean, Jon Favreau is, first of all,
he's the coolest guy in the world.
The coolest. And you have no idea, by the way he handles it in a good way, that he is managing and directing this multi-million dollar movie with so much riding on it, and the fans really expecting something big for the sequel.
Right.
Because everyone on there is just having fun and committed to just, let's get the best moment. Let's make this movie like feels like we're all here and it's present. It's not like we have to go to the script exactly. Let's look at what we can all do and contribute. And it was fantastic.
It seems like they're taking it lighter than you feel. Like there would be a lot of pressure with a follow-up, especially to a follow-up to a movie that was that great.
That's true. And I think because they all know what they're doing, and because you have Jon Favreau, who already did the first one, it is so fantastic, and he has his work after the movie's done shooting is just begins with all of the editing and all the CG, and he is so smart that everyone believes in him. And then Robert Downey Jr., when you're on set, I mean, when I first met him, I was starstruck. I mean, and I don't get starstruck, and I was just like, oh,
he does
my gosh.
He does seem like an old school like movie star.
Yeah, you know?
He's an actor's actor too. He's that talented.
He really is. I mean, he comes on set. He's just so fantastic, and I was so lucky to work with him. And when we I was there, and I'm so nervous to do anything wrong. I'm like, I want to do a great job and to come in, and there's a lot of improv, and I feel comfortable with improv. I feel very uncomfortable with Robert Downey Jr. doing improv, because I'm like, holy crap. But then I thought, you know what, just don't be scared. Go in and
act like you belong.
Yes, listen. Right. I'd rather be quiet than like speak up and say something stupid.
Did you have that whole feeling the whole time that somebody's gonna realize you're there and
get me out of there,
kick you out?
Well, I all I could think about was this. You know, in fifth grade, when you sometimes remember something in history that some teacher told you that that's stupid, I'm never gonna remember that.
Right.
But it just kept with me the entire time. It was that Abraham Lincoln quote that's something along the lines of, It's better to be quiet and be thought of as stupid than actually speak up and confirm your stupidity.
Yeah, a lot of actresses could live by that.
Yeah, well, I just said to myself, like, don't say anything. I know you want to be funny. Don't say anything. Just be quiet. So then when I actually did say something, I'd already, like, gathered all my information from them and learned off of them. And then when I started, it was fantastic. And at one point, on one day shooting with Robert, it was, like, this huge improv day for me, and I kept going. And it was so much great fun, because the crew, when you get the crew to laugh, that's the best, because then they've been there all day and they're tired, and when they call cut and they're laughing at something that you said or did, it's
that's
great.
Cool.
And Robert at one point just goes, it's like 110 extras and the entire crew in this massive setting, goes, can we just stop for a second? Can we just give a round of applause for Olivia? Because she is rocking it.
Whoa.
And
oh,
he gets all of these people to clap for me, and I'm just like, I mean, it makes me emotional right now. Just I mean, that's like a dream to work with Robert Downey Jr. in such a big movie, and to get that kind of feedback was fantastic.
Plus the fear of kind of bringing everything to a halt because of your mistake is there. And then he stops everything on purpose. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was really great.
Wow.
That's awesome. So not till May of 2010 for Iron Man.
Yes.
Is what you're telling me.
Can they move that up? Because I'd like to see it this year.
Yeah, well, I try. Mm-hmm. I'll try. I'll see what I can do.
All right.
Let's talk about a little magazine called Playboy on newsstands now. Yeah. It's the double issue.
Yes.
You are on
Thank
the cover.
You.
and featured inside. And I hate to say that you're starting a bad precedent by allowing hot chicks to do Playboy without getting naked.
Mm-hmm.
But you still did a great job. You still rocked
Thanks.
It, I must say. But your hair's in the way in so many shots. And why don't they have people on set who can say, no, no, the hair is in the way. You got to move that.
Well, can you see this picture on the screen over there? Yeah, that's... Your hair is way too long, it seems to be blocking
my nipples.
The view.
Can I say that this morning?
Sure. Sure.
Yes.
Well, she asks after she says it.
Ask for forgiveness.
Tell us how this works, how you get old man Hef to let you in the magazine without showing the goods.
Well, I got the call from the publicist, and I was really excited because it's the offer to do the cover of Playboy, and there's only 12 a year, and I was really excited about that, and immediately it was a no for me, just because it's not something, I think that the women who do it are beautiful, and it's nothing wrong with it, it's just, personally, I didn't feel comfortable doing it.
Right.
But I love telling everybody about it, and I love calling my mom and telling her.
I got the offer, just so you know.
Yeah, it was fun. But then a couple weeks later, I get the call again, and they said, we want you to do it, and there's no nudity, and you get the cover, and it's the first ever 2-month issue. So that was like, I was like, okay, that's great. So then what happens is I said, well, these are some shots I'm comfortable with, and this is what I'm comfortable doing. And then the contract has to get involved, because when you do a really sexy photo shoot, you need a contract that basically says, it helps me so that I can be comfortable and feel sexy and do things that if something accidentally it gets exposed, that I have a contract to protect me, so you can't run that picture. So therefore, okay. I can get these kind of sexier pictures where nothing's showing.
Well, it looks like in this picture, you're trying desperately to take off your panties, and they took the shot too early. Why didn't they take the shot a little later?
Because then you'd see the hint of penis that I have.
Okay.
It's just a whisper.
Hint of penis, by the way.
It's just a whisper.
It's a good
of a
band
penis.
Name.
It's like, just a little
so
bit.
down the road, will you ever go back and do it right, or are you going
to
settle for this half-assed version of Playboy?
Well, I was really...
Are you content to fail? Are you content to give us half of what you've got, is my question, I guess.
Yes. I don't think that... to me, I know it sounds crazy, but I think the fans would have been more pissed at me if I did do that, because it looks like...
No.
No, wait, come on. But listen.
Nope.
Because then...
Never been more wrong.
No.
You're
just...
But I think
dead wrong.
I think it's because...
you want us to take calls from the fans and see?
Well, I think it seems like I'm like jump... Like, it's like, oh, look at her. She's getting naked to try to get more famous. I'd rather do it on my own merit, and I think
then
like,
do it on your own merit.
But like, listen to that. Okay, Playboy.
No!
Playboy has their own.
No,
sorry, Christian Bale says no.
Playboy has their own television network, and no one's really watching that, you know. But people are watching Attack of the Show. I'm not getting naked at all, and so it's like I want to do things where people are like, you know what, we want to keep watching her, we want to see her, and really. I just have a very saggy vagina, and that's...
Another good band name.
I'm just saying, it's
by the way,
it's seen a lot.
No! I haven't seen the rest of the issue, but I do know, because I follow Olivia's tweets, that she was apoplectic about one of the other girls in this current newsstand issue of Playboy. There's a girl in there that was just a shaggy dog,
Can
right,
you,
Olivia? And
really?
You just have gone crazy about
page
her.
Page 76 in Playboy, you gotta get it. It's just hairy badge
No.
You just see this. I mean, I don't even know. She has no head. You just see her
it's
butt.
It's like legs
kinda,
in an afro is what
legs,
it is.
Legs, and then her butt kind of squishes out beneath it, but then it kind of merges along with the line of her vagina when there's this huge, massive amount of hair. It's unbelievable. You have to see it. Buy it.
I didn't think
this.
That was even
possible.
They wouldn't put that in. I didn't think anymore.
Oh, no. It's amazing. It's fantastic.
Wow.
I show it to everyone.
Olivia has been trying to distance herself from page 76. Buy the issue. Rip out page 76. That's been her advice.
Buy the issue and rip it out.
And then
tape it onto mine. So there you go.
Then you don't have to do it and we can see it. But it's an afro. Do you want that?
Playboy
it's a
is on newsstands now. It's the July-August 2009 issue. You got to check that out. And you must watch the 1,000th episode special. 2 hours long, by the way. Lots of special guests, clips from past shows, Olivia's audition tape, and, of course, the big makeout session with Alan Thicke. That's all tonight at 7 o'clock on G4. Olivia, this is not going to be the last time you come in to see us. I got
I
news for you. You're coming back.
I love you guys. I listen to you every morning.
You're coming back tomorrow.
I'm busy.
All right.
Michael Ian Black joins us in a few minutes. Is he Michael or Michael in Michael and Michael Have Issues? You guys know? I don't even know.
I believe he's Michael.
Okay.
Yep.
We'll find out. He's on the way. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Thursday morning. What's going on?
You know, in the good old days when you were president, they'd wait till you were dead for, I don't know, 150, 200 years before they start making movies about you.
Yeah.
Not anymore. I mean, Oliver Stone made a movie about W while W was in office.
Yeah, sure.
Right. Talk about not waiting.
Well, there's another Clinton movie in the works. HBO Films is doing an HBO movie about the former president and the former first lady. Yeah, that's it. It's called The Special Relationship. It is. That's what it's called.
And that means business relationship?
I believe it carries multiple meanings.
All right.
I think it's about Bill and Hill, about their special relationship. It's about the special relationship between Bill and Prime Minister Tony Blair.
Mm-hmm. And, same one.
And also about the relationship between Hillary and Tony Blair, I think, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Bow, bow.
Anyway, Dennis Quaid will be playing President Clinton.
I can see that.
Yeah. I think he could pull it off.
Sure.
Did you ever see American Dreams?
Mm-hmm.
That spoof on American Idol with Hugh Grant?
Yeah.
Where Dennis Quaid played a George W. Bush type president in it, who was a big dunderhead. And he was quite funny and quite good in that. Michael Sheen, the actor, will be playing British Prime Minister Tony Blair. And
of course,
Julianne Moore
Ooh.
Was supposed to be playing Hillary Clinton.
Whoa.
But she had
bad casting.
Back out of the film because of a scheduling conflict, so they've recast her with the actress Hope Davis, who I love, who I can actually very much see playing Hillary Clinton.
Yes, better choice.
Hope, Tilda Swinton?
Hope Davis was in American Splendor. Have you ever saw that with Paul Giamatti? She was in treatment on HBO this past season, so a good choice there to play Hillary.
A little too female.
Should be interesting.
A little too female.
Hope Davis too female?
Yeah.
Come on, Hill's a female.
Yeah.
Come on.
They should have got Paul Giamatti.
Just because she pantsuits it so much.
Not sure.
How many Polish people does it take to protest a Madonna concert?
All.
Turns out a lot. An ultra-religious movement in Poland this week said it will be protesting her singer, the singer's concert in Warsaw, with daily prayer sessions outside City Hall. Problem is that Madonna has scheduled her show on August 15th,
right,
which is the Assumption. If you're a Roman Catholic, you know that's the holiday that celebrates the day the Virgin Mary was taken to heaven after her death. And so in protest, the ultra-Catholics in Poland will be protesting the fact that Madonna, see the tie-in to the Virgin Mary here,
yeah,
who they believe has taken her name in vain, even though it is her given name,
right,
will be performing a slutty musical event.
But Madonna wouldn't do anything that was.
That's true. She's not one to stir up any trouble.
Right.
Regarding the
especially with the religious.
The religious folks.
Yeah, no.
What's with the poll?
Didn't she put herself up on a crucifix?
She did on a
concert?
Yeah, that happened.
I was thinking. Yeah. The concert, by the way, is just about sold out in Poland. It's her first concert in that country ever. She has sold 70,000 seats for the event.
Wow.
She's outdrawing Michael Jackson dead. That's all you need to know. More people are going to see her live than Michael Jackson dead.
Mm.
It's quite an event.
Yeah.
And Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher have been trying to conceive for years, but Us Weekly magazine says they have given up and now are looking to adopt.
Africa.
Oh, I hope they get an African.
Africa.
Oh, that's the only place to go these
days.
Is that
where they're going? That's the hip
it's
place.
It's like the Kitson for baby shopping, really. It's the place where it's all the kids are going there, really. You can pick yourself up something nice off the discount rack.
Call up your agent. I got to get a kid from Africa.
Exactly. Today's latest accessory, so we'll see where they go. But, and speaking of motherhood, I just can't stop talking about this story. Shauna Sand used to be married to an actor named Lorenzo Lamas.
Using the word actor loosely.
Yeah.
Wasn't he the host of Are You Hot? And he had a little laser pointer where he put it all over women's bodies and talked about what they needed to work
one
on.
One of the judges on Are You Hot or Not, yeah, where he would, he was the Simon Cowell of that show.
Where right.
He talk about people.
Yeah.
He was also in Grease. Probably best known for his role in Grease as the jock who vies for Olivia Newton-John's attention against Danny Zuko in that film.
Okay.
He was also a renegade. Let's not forget that. He was a cop who was an outlaw, played by his own rules, rode a motorcycle with long, flowing Fabio-esque hair. Spectacular syndicated program. Anyway, he was married to a former Playboy playmate named Shauna Sand.
Okay.
And they split up in 2002.
Okay.
And they have had a very tempestuous breakup. But now, adding fuel to the fire, we know why they split up. Apparently, back in 2002, it came to Lorenzo's attention that Shauna Sand was having sex with his son.
Oh, my God!
Now, oops. Keep in mind, Shauna was the boy's stepmother.
Oh, God, no, 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 no.
And he was 18 years old at the time, if any of that makes it any better
Whoa.
For you.
Whoa! Oh, man! Oh, man. Oh,
but Lorenzo Lamas is currently shooting a reality show for E! He's getting his own reality series.
Okay.
And Lorenzo talks about the fact that he caught his ex-wife, Shauna, having sexy time with his son, AJ, while they were married.
Really? How sad.
Not for AJ, by the way. 2002, she was looking pretty strong. Look, I know you're used to seeing Shauna Sands now in the TMZ coverage stuff, but, you know, 7, 8 years ago, she was looking
back before all the bad plastic surgery. She looked okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's also that thing where she's married to your dad.
But she's a playmate.
Yeah.
Come on. Kevin. Where are your priorities?
I don't know.
If a playmate was married to your dad and you were 18 years old and she comes on to you, what happens next?
How do you know she came on to him?
Because the story says, Lorenzo says, and AJ, his son, says she came on to him.
Now Lorenzo's got to divorce her. I understand that. But he's,
right.
He's not mad at his son, right? He understands.
I would think he has to. You have no choice.
Yeah.
You have no option.
As an 18-year-old guy, you don't have any choice.
It's the law.
You got to tax it.
You've got to. I bet you AJ hasn't had many playmates since. That's all I got to tell you.
Probably none.
You have to do it. Good on you, AJ.
Love it.
I hope they make Renegade 2 and you get to take over for your dad, AJ Lorenzo, and AJ Lamas. AJ Lamas is... Renegade the Next Generation.
Don't make us do You Slept With a Step-Parent.
We have to. We have to.
We'll get plenty of calls. It scares me.
Homewrecker.
Today's right. Celebrity birthday is Brian Dennehy.
Yeah!
71 years old today. Brian Dennehy, so good in so many things.
Fat.
Yeah, he's a big, but he's not, you know, he's not a sloppy fat, Brian Dennehy. Dennehy strikes me as
like carries it well.
Like a solid, just like a bull fat.
Fatty.
He's not Paul Blart fat. He's like kick your ass fat.
Yeah. He's like mafia boss fat.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Fatso.
Solid.
But Tony Soprano was fat, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was fat.
Yeah. But right. he progressed to fat. He started Brian Dennehy fat.
Then he got sloppy fat. Yeah.
Overweight people have it hard enough being disgusting without you making fun of them.
That's a good point.
Dennehy would snap you like a twig. He's 71.
I could take him.
Chris Cooper's 58. John Tesh, TV personality turned musician, is 57 years old today. Actor Jimmy Smits turns 53. Tom Hanks, 53 years old as well. Kelly McGillis, who looks more and more like Tom Hanks every day, 52. Singer Courtney Love celebrates her 45th birthday. And Fred Savage.
Wow. Fred Savage is the greatest actor in the history of the world.
You're absolutely right. He was on the Wonder Years.
That's not an overstatement.
And he was the kid on the Wonder Years. Not Winnie.
Kevin.
Not Winnie.
Kevin.
The other one.
What?
What? He's listening.
That was his character's name. Was Kevin.
What?
Kevin Arnold on the Wonder Years.
There's no Arnold here.
My name is not Kevin Arnold.
Someone call the FBI. I'm Ralph Crowley.
What's up?
I walk the showbiz beat.
So Bean is not a workaholic. Is that a safe assumption? He doesn't exactly... If it's 10:01, he's ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He does not like doing our show.
Right.
I'll give you that much.
Okay.
Well, now, hold on a second.
He doesn't
like
working with us.
I spend a tremendous amount of my day working here preparing for the show.
That's right.
Sound together and reading things and being prepared.
Kevin, too. Kevin's busy all the time, working all the time at home.
Can't get him off the email, that's for sure.
He works all the time.
So Bean goes to Finland on vacation because he's always wanted to go. And by the way, Ralph, you didn't hear this part. He tortured us with it all last year before he was denied his visa or whatever.
His passport was not valid any longer.
He tortured us for 6 months. And he tortured us for 3 months this year.
I know.
Wasn't as good as he thought.
Shut up.
That's what he said.
Up.
That's what he said.
What I said was, I think Norway was a more beautiful country is what I said, because Finland is very flat. It doesn't have the fjords and the mountains that you expect in Scandinavia. I was surprised by how flat it was, but I had a great time. The people were great. I saw a lot of cool stuff, and I'm glad I went.
Contacted a radio station while in Finland.
Well, here's the thing. Bean will do that wherever he goes.
Yeah, he loves radio stations.
Anywhere.
Except for this one that
he's
on.
Doesn't like us. Doesn't like us or this station. Doesn't like this station or the people he works with, but loves other radio stations and loves other radio people.
Yes.
Any
other. Will go out of his way to spend time with people in radio.
Format, music, none of it matters.
We'll eat with them, lunch, dinner, hang out, play pool, sculpt
dance.
Together, dance class. We'll do anything with other radio people. Can't be bothered to talk to us.
That's correct.
For a moment.
I got to get on KFI. There's got to be a way I can get off this station.
But loves other radio people to, I think, his detriment, to a fault.
Listen, we do those MTV like roundtable things where there are 80 radio stations all sitting in a little area. area tables and stuff like that. And we constantly were having to find Bean when a guest would come up because he'd be sitting down with one of the other stations talking about radio.
He's like a kid in a candy store.
Tell me about your microphone. How does it work?
How many AM stations are there in Columbus, New Mexico? Where are you ranked?
He's endlessly fascinated.
So I had the opportunity to be on NRG Radio in Helsinki, Finland while I was there. And I got a chance to hook up with the morning show there, which was, I think it was Mishka and Evelyn, I think was the name of the show.
Mishka and Evelyn do good work.
I think that was the show that was on. And they says, hey, you're out there in Los Angeles. You work at this powerful radio station and you get a chance to interview all the celebrities. Would you mind coming on and we can interview you and talk to you about some of the stuff that you do out there in Hollywood? Because they're fascinated. You know, all around the world, you know, that's our biggest export is entertainment from the United States. So all around the world, they want to know about Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton and Britney Spears and Michael Jackson. And
you
and
know
stuff.
None of those people.
Who's got his finger on the pulse of those people more than Bean?
This is talking to Corey Feldman after Michael died on Larry King for an hour.
But I think if you're in Finland, somebody who has spent a lot of time living and working in Los Angeles,
right,
you feel like they have some stories. There's some stuff that they can tell that will be of interest to the average Finn.
That's their initial impression.
Right.
Which turned out, I'm sure, to be wrong.
And when they found out you live and work in a small island in the Pacific Northwest, how did they feel about interviewing you about Los Angeles?
They said, let's do it anyway. So they went, so they asked me to come on and say, hey, we got some questions about some of the celebrities. We want to find out who you've had the opportunity to meet and who you like and who's fun and what kind of cool stuff have you seen and stuff like that. And I think, you know, I'm a gracious host in their country,
sure,
and in their station that, you know, I'll give them, you know, give them some time.
You mean
how do I say no to that?
You said you're a host.
I'm a guest, right.
Yeah, okay.
So how do I say no to that? So I say, yeah, no problem. So they take me into the studio.
Do you mind if I just stop the story just for a second? Because I'd like to translate.
Okay.
Bean forced his way onto this radio station.
Hey, let me do some radio with you guys. Would that be fun?
I know celebrities.
I can tell you all about Lindsay Lohan.
We're
close friends.
I've talked to
what studio can I be in?
Okay, now back to you.
They invited me as a guest.
Uh-huh.
So
invite you at gunpoint.
I get into the room with Mishka and Evelyn, and I sit down, and I put on my headset, and the song ends, and they come on, and they go, hey, we have Bean here from the Kevin and Bean Show, and welcome to the show, and I say good morning, and they say, so tell us about Confess Your Crime.
No!
Oh!
They did not!
Awesome!
They've done their research.
Oh, my gosh.
For people who have only been listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for a short time, it means nothing to you. This was a bit that we got unfairly labeled with 20 years ago that Mark and Brian did. Remember when Jim Ladd killed that guy and then Mark and Brian did the big cover? And somehow, because the internet is confusing, somehow people thought we were involved in that. This is the first and only thing that they cared about and wanted to talk to me about in excruciating detail.
That's hilarious.
The bitch set me up.
That's awesome.
So your history as a prankster and hoaxster preceded you, I guess.
Is that unbelievable?
That can you imagine? Is the best thing I've ever heard.
Can you imagine what was going through my head when that was their question out of the gate? Tell me about Confess Your Crime.
Late 1990, maybe early 1991.
90. Because it was before I joined
you. 1990.
And everyone told me about it.
Those guys faked somebody's death and got a lot of trouble.
We wanted to name the rule after us in the FCC law book, but they wouldn't.
No.
And they had all the details. They wanted to talk about the police investigation. And tell me about the community service. You know, they had all those questions. And
did you tell them what we did?
I was just, of course, yeah. So I was just sitting there, and I was just thinking, man, this is what it must be like to be OJ. Doesn't matter what good stuff you do in your life, all they talk about is how you killed that chick. I mean, this is exactly what it's like. You make one mistake in your life, and it follows you for the rest of your life.
And by you make one mistake, you mean Mark and Brian.
Mark and Brian made that mistake, yeah. Right. So anyway, so I told them the story, and then, you know, my ass was pretty sore as a result of that interview. But then they let me stick around and play some records and have some fun. So
that's
it was okay after that.
About.
You did
but
the midday shift, I heard.
I stayed on for a little while, but there's no tape. I mean, that's the. I know you guys were bugging
contraire,
me.
Oh, contraire, mon frère.
No, they told me that they don't run air checks on that station.
Please.
I mean, I would have loved to have gotten a tape, but there wasn't.
Like, there's a chance Bean could work on a station in Finland and not have them recorded in real time on a CD in his car.
They told me that there was no tape, and I have to believe. I know I didn't walk out with one, and I'm sure that you don't have one either because they didn't make it, is what I'm telling you.
Because it's Finland, it turns out they had to lay it down on vinyl.
Yeah.
But they don't have tape or CD technology there. They have to do it on one of those
eight tracks.
Those wax cylinders that Edison used to use to record music. But we got our hands on it because of the internet. We were able to pull.
No, you didn't.
A little an air check, some clips of the air check.
You do not have tape of me on the station in Helsinki.
Of your midday shift.
Come on.
When you were spinning, when you were throwing flames.
Is energy.
Oh, yeah. Not electronica.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's what they play, man.
You imagine Bean?
Oh, yeah. He was the man.
All right.
Look, since you'll never hear it, I can tell you that I threw down.
Well, we have some clips, and I'd like to play the first one for you now. Yeah. This is Bean now on NRG in Helsinki, Finland.
Energy Nettiradion sinulle tarjoaa meriteollisuus. Let's go! You're listening to me, Beat Baxter, on NRJ Radio Finland. 40 minutes nonstop NRJ music coming up, including Michael Rainio, Ilpo Vasainen, and Konsta Mikonen. And when Konsta sings, I constantly want to keep listening.
Okay. Even in Finland, he can't resist the bad puns.
You weren't supposed to know
when
that. Come on.
When a pun comes into his head, he is powerless against it.
He's How useless.
Dare you?
All right, here's another clip.
That was Levi and the Leavings, featuring Gösta Sundqvist. And I wonder if he makes any of that Sundqvist orange soda. Oh, speaking of soda, I wish I had some cherry vanilla Coke. Why don't they make that anymore? Why doesn't Finland have more 7-Elevens? Coming up next, the new rap from Buzz Aldrin.
I tell a story about my time on the moon now. The sky was black even though the sun...
By the way, that song exists.
Oh, wait a minute. Buzz, I didn't hear that.
You didn't? Buzz Aldrin raps a song.
He has a rap about being on the moon now, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And the answer
Bean
is no,
broke
Bean.
The news in Finland.
All right, so that's two clips. I wonder what kind of music they're going to be playing in our third clip.
Hit music only. This is Beat Baxter on NRJ Radio Finland. If we were in the United States of America, and I did something wrong, but it wasn't international, it was just domestic, then the law enforcement agency that would handle that would be the FBI.
The FBI?
That never gets old.
Wow.
He's torturing him in another country.
Maybe
with
they
that?
Can export Bean.
Wow.
What the hell was that? One of the worst I've ever heard. I hate you so much, I want to shoot you in your face.
Honey, I like you, but you're just not right for this competition.
Yo, dog, I gotta tell you, for me, man, that was not even half good, dude.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show Thursday morning. You guys remember when Olivia Munn was here from a
Yeah, that
show?
Was good. That was great.
I wish I had well,
this
I need
was
a time
like 10
machine.
Minutes ago.
It was.
I need a time machine. I need to go back and live in the 7 o'clock hour. That's when my life was at its best, when Olivia Munn was here.
Well, then you peaked,
Can
friend.
I tell you why Twitter is bad?
Sure. One more reason?
Michael Ian Black is in the studio with us. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Bean a second ago says, hey, do you need some NyQuil? Because I guess you're not feeling well and you tweeted about it.
Yeah.
And then Olivia Munn, Bean said something about, oh, yeah, we were twittering back
and forth. What's wrong with current real-time information, Kevin? That's the beauty of Twitter.
Stop it. Stop it.
Olivia Munn knew that I was sick.
She did.
Everyone
asking.
Everyone who follows you knows that you're not feeling well today, but I don't see... Kevin looks at that as a problem. He thinks we're getting into the age of too much information. I love staying current and knowing what's going on in the world, and I appreciate the real-time element of Twitter.
But to me, it smacks of, hey, buddy, we're friends.
Yes.
Just because you follow his Twitter doesn't mean... Hey, you need some NyQuil? F you. You know what I mean?
Just trying to be a good host. That's all.
Michael, how does that make you feel? Do you like that?
I certainly appreciated the offer of NyQuil.
Right. Thank but you. Did you know Thank why?
But you don't want Bean to
yeah,
be your friend,
I'm sick.
Right?
It was obvious to me that when I said I was sick and he said, would you like NyQuil,
okay.
that those two ideas were somehow related. Yes, I understood
Thank you, Michael.
That.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. So you're good with that.
You work with him every day, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
It's hard to believe. I know. So, Michael, you are the king of – you're certainly one of the kings of Twitter and one of the five best people I follow. Why do you enjoy doing it so much?
Well, I'd like to say that I use it as a marketing tool and that it's good for my joke writing craft. But honestly, I think I'm just a narcissist and an attention whore.
Uh-huh.
I think that's primarily the reason.
Honesty.
Yeah.
But you know what it is? It's also a competitive thing. It's because, in a sense, it's like a video game. And I was obsessed with video games as a kid, and this is sort of a grown-up one, because there's two ways to play. One way to play is you write something and then you see how many responses you get. And then the other thing is the sort of constant followers that your number keeps growing.
How many can you get?
That's exactly right. That's
the game. Okay.
Right. So now, you know, you check your follower number every day and you write the best tweets you can in an effort to get that number up.
And what if they go down? Then you get depressed and
I guess I would. Yes, I guess I would get depressed, but they don't go down. I mean, let's be honest.
How many people do you have following you right now?
I mean, I don't know. Is it 800 and 9,000 as of this morning? Yes.
I don't know. 9,000.
No, 800 and 9,000.
800 and 9,000?
Yes.
So when you look at a guy like Diddy, who's a tool and offers nothing to the world, does it drive you crazy that he's over a million?
Yeah.
It should.
It does. Well, it annoys me when there are people out there who I don't want to pee names like you just did, but there is a certain pee somebody who really just doesn't offer anything,
right?
Other than sort of the most banal kind of
worthless,
yeah, right, quasi motivational, all caps exclamation points, and it bugs me out.
But you got to be locked in, dude. You got to make it happen. Be positive. Come on.
Let's do this.
But that's the point.
Let's do this. That's the point at which, though. But he interprets that as being a real service to mankind.
I think he does.
You know what I mean? Like, he, in his mind, that's super important. And his is way better than yours because he's offering the people something back.
You know, if people are getting...
Certainly are, by the way. And I wanted to talk to you about that before... I should have thought of that before you came on the morning show. This isn't Love Line. I just wanted to remind you of that. That's all.
I can't say that.
No, but I had to get out of delay because you can't say that. No.
Oh, yeah. I just figured I could say it on Dr. Drew.
But that's late at night. It's very different rules.
Right.
I wish it was the same rules, but it's not.
Right.
Michael Ian Black is here.
There's a place between your hand and your forearm.
That's right.
All right.
Okay, I'm just saying. Because we had to get out of delay.
About that.
And he writes about where he puts that. That's all.
That's right.
Okay.
He is up to the elbow.
Can I say that? Can I say up to the elbow?
Yeah, as long as there's no context.
There's no context.
Okay, then yeah.
Right. As long as there's no fist associated with that.
Right.
As long as
no. We're not talking about that at all.
No.
Right. Michael Ian Black is here. He's very funny.
Can I mention the kind of lube?
No. Okay. I'd rather you didn't in context with the other conversation.
No. This was for a totally different thing. Something completely different.
Okay.
Then it would be all right, right?
Yeah, if it was another conversation
there's
altogether.
There's a door hinge in my home that needs a tremendous amount of lube.
Okay. And what do you use on that door hinge?
Crisco.
Okay.
That's an interesting choice. You ignored him on The State, which, by the way, we will talk about because it's finally coming out on DVD. But you loved him on Ed. You love him on all the VH1 I Love the Shows that he gets paid nothing for. And you will especially love him on Michael and Michael Have Issues, which is finally coming to Comedy Central next Wednesday night at 10:30. That's Wednesday, July 15th. This is you with your longtime buddy, Michael Showalter.
That's exactly
now,
right.
Now, you've had a cult following for years and years and years of this, but this is the first time it's ever actually kind of on TV for everybody to enjoy, right?
Well, we had a show called Stella that was on a couple years ago on Comedy Central. Me, Michael Showalter, and my friend David Wayne. And that show, nobody watched that show. And so this is, you know, this show is rising from the ashes of
this
that.
This is Stella 2.0 is what this is.
Well, no, it's a different thing. It really is a different thing. But
it's
obviously...
It's the same thing with a different name.
All right, fine.
I don't know. I'm just kidding.
It's a little bit of an unusual concept for a show, which is what, you know, intrigues people about it, I think. Tell folks what Have Issues is all about.
Well, it's my and Michael Showalter's sort of real kind of love-hate relationship doing what we do, which is make sketch comedy, and then you see the sketches that we make. So it's a lot of us bickering and arguing and sometimes fist fighting, and then you
fighting.
See...
Fighting, the key word there.
Yes.
Okay.
And exactly right. Fist fighting up to our elbows. and then you see the sketches that we make as well.
Do people underestimate how hard it is to make comedy sketches?
I don't. I mean,
I'll tell you why, and I'm one of them, maybe. I look at Saturday Night Live and I go, can't watch it.
Well, yeah, I understand that. But I look at I look at it through a different lens. I look at it as they're creating 90 minutes of television every week and they're doing it live. And to me that's kind of an amazing thing that they that it even gets up.
Right, and that's what I'm asking is the amount of talent and work that it must take.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Tremendous. I mean, even, you know, it's really hard to make comedy. Really, really hard. I mean, I've listened to your show, so I know.
Yeah, you know. We haven't figured it out yet, right? We're still early in that road.
All right, we will talk more about Michael and Michael Have Issues Wednesday night, July 15th at 10:30 on Comedy Central. Michael Ian Black is our guest. We'll take a quick break and come back after this on The Kevin and Bean Show.
We also need to be affectionate, and you can see that with Barack and Michelle as well. They do a lot of touching, kissing, even fisting.
That one's for you, Michael Ian Black. I knew you'd enjoy that.
She meant fist bumping.
Fist bumping, of course. Clearly, that's what she's referring
fist
to. Yes, right.
Bumping up to the elbow.
Michael Ian Black is here. The show is Michael and Michael Have Issues with his friend Mike Showalter. That's going to be next Wednesday night, July 15th at 10:30 on the Comedy Central. It looks very, very funny. Now, it's funny, you talked about how you talk about these cult comedies, and you have had your share. The State is finally coming out on DVD next week.
Yeah.
Was this one of these deals where it was a music rights licensing or some attorneys with paperwork? What happened?
I think it was a little bit of everything. Primarily, I don't think anybody at MTV, which is where it originally aired, cared enough to solve the problems and get the thing out on DVD. And honestly, literally for the last 15 years... people have been coming up to me and saying, when's it coming out on DVD? When's it coming out on DVD?
And how much do you have to do with that? None?
Well, the state as a whole participated in the creation of it. So we all did commentary on it, and we helped put it together, and we, you know, unearthed old sketches and made it into a real sort of collector's package. It's really nicely done.
But, I mean, at year seven, you know, halfway through this 15-year thing, you... It wasn't up to you, right? I mean, you,
oh no, we had. I mean,
not like
we,
you were holding it up.
No. It was all MTV. I mean, They just didn't. They didn't care. You know, they didn't want to release it. And then finally,
which is weird because it's free money for them, right?
I guess so, but I mean, I guess it costs a certain amount to put these things together, and they didn't see that they'd make so much more money than if they didn't put it together. But There was a guy over there named Robert Cristiano who really championed it and got it done. It took about a year and a half, 2 years to do.
You had some funny people on that show, and it must be gratifying to see guys like Thomas Lennon, who are really making their names kind of in comedy now all these years later. I mean, it showed that you picked well at the beginning.
It would be gratifying if it was me. It's not particularly gratifying to watch him.
To watch other people. You don't get some joy from seeing your friend's success at all?
No, what I get is schadenfreude. You know, what I get is, horrible envy, bitterness.
If he could see it from eye level, he would be fine with it. But if he has to look up at it, it's not so fun.
What I get is the shingles. No, it's incredible. I mean, most of the people in the state have gone on to have very successful careers in comedy. And we all remain friends. We all work together whenever we can, and it's great. I mean, the story of this state, I think, is worth telling someday because it's 11 people who met in college, none of whom had any background in show business, and all of whom have managed to carve out pretty significant careers in this business, and
self accepted, of course.
Well, yes, of course. I'm the guy doing Klondike commercials.
Yes.
Aren't you the voice of a sock puppet, too?
I was.
All right. Sorry.
There's nothing I won't do for a buck, let's be honest.
What do people...
Yeah, and you guys are paying me, right?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah. What do people...
Lisa has to check.
We're always fascinated when we have somebody on who's in a bunch of different things at one time, acting and hosting and commercials and everything else. Like when we have Justin Long on, no matter how many great movies he does, and he's a fine, fine actor, he'll always be the Mac guy to a certain number of people. That's what people come up to him on the street and talk to him about is the Apple commercials, right? What's the thing for you that most people know you from and talk to you about on the street?
Well, I'm in the blessed position of not being nearly as successful as Justin Long. So for me...
You get the don't I know that guy look, but I'm not sure where?
We go to high school together?
Well, the one last week was, weren't you in Northern Exposure? And I usually just say yes. And
say yes to all of them.
Yes,
whatever
I just say yes.
No, that was me.
I was the voice of the moose.
Which character did you like the most? Yep, that was me.
I'd worked with Justin on Ed.
Yeah.
And I used to call him Jar Jar Binks because I think he looks like Jar Jar Binks.
Interesting.
Oh, interesting.
If you look at him.
Let me make a note.
Yeah, please do.
Jar Jar Binks.
Please give him my best after he
But all
totally
this changes next Thursday
what?
Morning when you can't leave your house because of the paparazzi out front
right.
After they've seen the premiere of Michael and Michael Have Issues. That's your Iron Man, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Well, you know, I've been doing this long enough to realize that my level of success is probably as high as it's ever going to get, and I'm fine with that.
You're,
you know,
on the downhill slope already.
I feel like I was born on the downhill slope, if that's possible.
So your best days were when you were one?
Earlier.
That's rough.
In utero,
wow,
were my best days.
Wow.
Yeah, bathing in a sea of amniotic fluid. Those were my best days.
Those are the heady days.
The good old days. All things seem possible.
And then once you sucked in that first breath of oxygen, that's when you realized the expiration date was on your forehead.
Well, here's the thing. If you think, and you being just anybody out there, if you think, you know, you're going to have a show on Comedy Central and wake up and your whole life is going to be different, you obviously haven't had a show on Comedy Central.
or you're not one of the South Park guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's always exceptions
it's
to
possible,
the rule.
Sure.
But I'm not, I'm just not one of those guys. And don't get me wrong, it's a very funny show. I think it's a great show. I don't think it's going to change my life.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we will very much look forward to it. Michael and Michael Have Issues, Wednesday night, July 15th at 10:30 on the Comedy Central, and you ought to check it out as well. I know you didn't feel too well. We appreciate you getting up at the crack of ass and coming in here and spending time with us, Mike. I hope we have you back sometime.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:56.
Kevin and Bean Show, Thursday morning. What's going on? What's the
just
nonsense?
Nothing.
What's happening here?
All badness. Don't worry. Just all badness.
Ralph is here with the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, what's going on?
Before I get to the showbiz news.
Don't sound so defeated, Bean. We're all having fun. Just act like you are, too.
Bean's giving up.
Well, I was asking what was happening. I couldn't figure it out, and
well,
I'm sure the listeners were as curious as I am.
Yeah, no time for explanations.
Not only, but the explanation would be super boring.
Never explain, never apologize. That's
okay,
my motto.
All right.
I'm not retreating. I am progressing forward in a different direction.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm doing.
Bean and Michael Ian Black were saying that they are both following Sarah Palin's tweets, and that
it's hilarious.
And Bean said she quoted Plato.
Well, she's a big platonic.
And Dave, the King
follower.
Of Mexico, who was in the studio at the time, said, "The toy Play-Doh?"
Yes, he did.
That happened.
Michael Ian Black looked at Dave.
Yes, Play-Doh.
And I was afraid I came off as dumb to Michael Ian Black, but I was fine after that.
He thought the governor of Alaska put up a quote from Clay, basically, is what happened in Dave's head. Right?
What's the quote? Press the fuzzy pumper and watch their hair grow.
Right, exactly. Oh, he's the best. Yeah. Back to you.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I have tickets to give away. My final pairs of tickets for the very special advanced K-Rock screening of Universal Pictures' brand new comedy starring Sacha Baron Cohen, Bruno.
Was up? Ich bin Bruno.
Was up?
Can't wait.
What's up, Kevin?
Is that's week or next?
Tomorrow it is.
I can't say that, Ralph. You can't use that language.
How many times am I going to get Rodney tell me I had a winner? How many times do I want to know?
Take it up with Rodney.
I am taking it up with Rodney.
I find it funnier each time. That's the answer.
It is tonight, so don't call if you can't
go
tonight.
We have a winner, believe it.
All right.
Don't call if you can't go tonight.
All right.
We got a winner!
Wish that was louder.
Yeah.
That would have been good.
I could make that happen.
I'm sure you could. Here is the trivia question. If you know the answer, call 1-800-520-1067 is the number to win. But again, don't call if you can't go tonight because we don't want to waste these tickets. Want someone to really go and really enjoy it.
Right.
Sacha Baron Cohen, we love him. He's the funniest. He, of course, was Borat before Bruno. And before that, he added a TV show that we saw on HBO here in the States called The Ali G Show. Speaking of Ali G, I need to know from you, at what prestigious university did Ali G perform a commencement speech? Very prestigious United States University. Ali G gave the commencement speech for this class. To make it interesting, give me the year, too. What school and what year did Ali G give the commencement?
It wasn't Sacha Baron Cohen. It was Ali G.
It was Ali G. Yeah. Ali G showed up and as a professor of urbanology, I think.
If you haven't seen that, it's on DVD. It's great.
It's very hilarious. You can go to YouTube. It's about 10 minutes long, but it's worth watching. You can go to YouTube if you haven't seen it. So call now, 1-800-520-1067.
How do you plan to repay the loan?
I will let you use my sister for 6 months.
It's a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
Shauna Sand, everyone's picking up on this story now. It's all over the internet.
Yeah.
She used to be married to an actor named Lorenzo Lamas.
It's a pretty outrageous story. I can see why they're picking up.
He's currently shooting a reality show for E! And apparently on this show, he talks about the fact that their marriage hit the skids in 2002
and he talks about why it hit the skids. In 2002, Lorenzo had a son named AJ, who was 18 years old at the time. Sasha Sand was his stepmother. Lorenzo Lamas found out Shauna was having sex with AJ.
Well, sounds sexy.
Shauna, his wife...
His wife...
was having sex with his son.
His son.
I think we just crossed the line.
Star, the magazine, talks about the scandalous affair.
That's just not good.
Saying Shauna came on to AJ. It was the ultimate betrayal. Lorenzo had no idea about the time. He was in the dark about the whole thing. He thought Shauna was acting like a mom to AJ.
That isn't good for you.
She was. A MILF. He had no clue that she was his son's lover. And then once Lorenzo found out, apparently things weren't the same in their relationship.
Really?
Inexplicably.
What a surprise.
I like to think that Shauna was just teaching the young man important lessons he needed to learn to go forward in life.
Sure.
I'm fuzzy on the whole good-bad thing. What do you mean bad?
He was doing a job, that's all. Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox are in love with pot.
All right.
Apparently the two are talking about the fact that they both love to smoke out.
All right.
And that Shia and Megan, according to an insider from the Transformers 2 set, joke about growing old together as an eccentric hippie couple. I can absolutely see that, because she's way hippie, and he's hippie second generation. He was raised by hippies.
Yeah.
He saw his folks walk around naked with a bong in their face all the time when he was growing up.
Now everybody gather around and listen if you would, when I tell you every person needs a way of feeling good. Every kitty needs a ball of string and every dog a stick. But all you need is a bag of weed to really get a kick. One, two, three, four. A bag of weed, a bag of weed. Oh, everything is better with a bag of weed. No, you don't need nothing, you don't need speed, because everything is better with a bag of weed.
Apparently, Megan has confessed that I can't tell you how much I've been through because I will openly say I smoke weed. People look at it like it's this crazy hippie thing to do. No, they
bomb.
Don't.
No, they don't,
Megan. Relax. You're not that cutting edge because you say you smoke weed. It's fine. Relax. Ooh, you're an outlaw. You're dangerous. Okay, it's okay.
F*** hippies. Bomb. He's been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it until I die. F*** hippies.
So apparently this is something that just bonds the two of them together.
All right.
Another thing they have in common.
Whatever works.
You need to have something in common with the person that you're with.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Sure.
And Britney Spears has gone back to Judaism, according to the New York Daily News.
I'm sure they're all very excited to have her.
Britney has been through many faiths. She was raised as a Baptist. She has experimented with Hinduism. Yeah, I'd love to see Britney contemplating the tenets of Hinduism. I bet she really grasped that pretty easily.
Well, she studies Plato also.
What?
Plato the toy?
The toy?
Huh?
The clay that you make things out of?
Huh?
She was recently spotted wearing a cross, but now she's in London. Paris. She was seen touring the Eiffel Tower, and the photos have her wearing a large Star of David necklace around her neck. So people assuming she went back to her old standby of Kabbalah, which, as you know, is Jewish mysticism.
Is it possible that it's just jewelry? But she just goes, hey, I like the way this looks.
That's a pretty six-pointed star.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear that today, Daddy.
Doesn't seem
Make
old.
Sure you have your cheese grits first.
I'd like to hear a whole family sketch of that family growing up.
Freaking Spearses. They're a nut loaf. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Hey, yo, check this out. And the winner is...
I'm going to give away my tickets before I do celebrity birthdays. How about that?
Sylvia.
Hello?
Hi, Sylvia.
Sylvia's mother says Sylvia's busy.
Is that right?
I'm here.
Wow. Put it in the file, Mike. Put it in the file.
All right. Sylvia, what university did Ali G do the commencement speech for?
Harvard.
That's correct. You know what year it was?
2004.
You're absolutely right. Congratulations. You're going to the very special K-Rock Advance screening of Bruno tonight.
Awesome. Can you go tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. We'll give you all the details. Hold on the phone.
Cool. Great.
You know, it sounds ridiculous, but we have so many people that call and then go, oh, I can't go.
Oh, I can't. Yeah. Tonight.
Oh,
I can't
tonight?
Use those.
No, I can't.
Congratulations also to Jason, David, Todd, and Teresa. They are all also lucky winners for our Bruno ticket giveaway. So, congratulations. That's the last of them, but I'll be giving away more movie tickets as the summer progresses. So,
huh?
Stick around. See, Sylvia's Mother was a very popular song back in the day.
Get it?
Sylvia's mother, and the line says, Sylvia's mother says, Sylvia's busy, too busy to come to the phone. And yet there was Sylvia on the phone.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Oh, come on. Sorry. I'm just glad the operator didn't jump in and ask for 40 cents for the next 3 minutes. That was my worry.
Come on.
See, that was also in the song.
I hate all of you.
Today's celebrity birthday is Brian Dennehy. He's 71 years old today.
That.
Richard Roundtree. He is a very talented African-American actor who is probably best known as the P.I. Shaft.
Yeah.
Round. He was a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
I'm just talking about Shaft.
Guys, that's never funny. It's never been funny. It never will be funny.
He is 67 years old today. Actor Chris Cooper turns 58. John Tesh used to be on Entertainment Tonight. He was the original host of that show along with Mary Hart. He's now 57 and a musician. Jimmy Smits is 53 years old today from NYPD Blue and from Dexter most recently. Tom Hanks turns also 53. Kelly McGillis is 52. Courtney Cox from Hole is... not Courtney Cox.
Courtney Love.
Courtney Love.
You said Courtney Cox and Hole.
I know. I was thinking Hole and Cox came out. What do you know? Courtney Love is 45 years old today, and actor Fred Savage. All right, we get it. It's very funny. Fred Savage, who played Kevin on The Wonder Years, and now he's a very popular director. He directs a lot of television. Very talented guy. He is 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, though, some unfinished business. And do not worry. Do not reach for your radio dial. We are not going to talk about Michael Jackson. That's behind us. But you know what's not behind us?
Right.
The bill. How much it cost the city of Los Angeles to host the Michael Jackson funeral and memorial the other day.
And you know who's paying for it? You and I.
Yeah.
That's right.
$1.4 million is what it came out to.
Yay!
Now, California is a state that has been sending out IOUs for the tax refunds.
And laying off people.
And laying off people, yes.
Closing down courts on alternate Fridays and
Bean,
all
do you
sorts
know
of
the,
things.
Do you know how much California is in debt?
All. I don't know, but it's, you know, millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. They certainly couldn't afford something like this. But as we talked about earlier in the week, what do? If somebody dies and they have a memorial service, as the police, you kind of do have to provide crowd control. You don't have much choice. But you would think that either the record companies involved or Michael Jackson's family or AEG, who runs the Staples Center, you think that somebody would step up and pay for it. Well, that has not been the case. So the mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa, is going directly to the public. There's a PayPal link. They want you, the fine citizens of L.A., to contribute. And we've got the mayor on the phone with us right now to tell us more about this controversial program. Hey, Mr. Mayor.
Sure.
What's going on? How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
You sound a little down.
Even your gun sounds down.
True.
What's wrong?
We're in a lot of debt, man.
Right.
We know.
We are a lot of Chick-fil-A. Go on, Chick-fil-A.
Oh, he's selling Chick-fil-A to raise money.
Are you at the border? Where are you?
You guys want a bacon-wrapped hot dog?
No. Well, look, yes, I do, but that's not going to raise $1.4 million to reimburse the city for how much it costs for the memorial.
I'm trying the best I can. I'm trying to do whatever I can to raise money for the city, but do it honestly, you know? I mean, because obviously, you know, I can make a lot of money real quickly, you know how? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
But right.
I'm trying to go the straight and narrow and do it in an honest manner.
Okay.
You know?
Well, let me ask you this question. Why would you only put out the word through Twitter? Why wouldn't you, I don't know, hold a press conference or get interviewed by the news?
Know, I figure out that the internet is like a good way to communicate with my constituent.
Right, right.
Be accessible, you know? But I even got my own eBay auction of stuff.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, it's www.ebay.com/J.
How do you spell that?
eBay?
Yeah. No.
E-B-A-Y.
Right, slash, and then how do you spell J?
Oh, no, you spell it like normal. Y-E-A-H. J.
Oh, that's what that is.
Oh,
no
you mean
idea.
Yeah.
You mean yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right, what are you... I know that you're asking people to donate through the city's PayPal page, and that's not going so well, but what are you selling on eBay to raise money?
Let's see. You can get a tattoo from the mayor. I do a personal tattoo for you.
You actually tattoo someone.
You can send me your gold.
Are you
I'll melt it down and you give you cash for your gold.
Okay, but then how does the state make any money?
Can you guys hold on one sec?
Yeah.
Hey, man, come here. Huh? Hey, come here real quick, man.
What do you want?
Hey, man, what time is it, man? What time is it? Hey, give me that.
Ow!
Here, give me your shoes, sir. Wallet. Sure. Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
You can't just roll a guy and steal his wallet, Mr. Mayor.
We are about $75 less in debt. Right now.
Please try.
That's going to take you a long time.
Yesterday I heard you can make some money at a sperm bank.
Right.
So I took the Raiders media guide and some lube. Made us about $80.
Okay. Okay. All
right. Guys, I'm really sorry. Can you hold on one more moment?
Okay. What now? What's going on now?
Ma'am, come here.
What do you want?
Could you come here real quick?
Okay.
That's a very nice blouser. Give me a purse.
No!
Mr. Mayor. I hit a woman, but I'll slap you.
Mr.
Sorry.
Mayor, you
no,
can't.
Come on,
no.
Give me that purse.
You can't raise. Mr. Mayor,
this is awful.
Do that?
Hey, stop crying, bitch. Huh?
You can't mug women
back
on the street.
I was mugging. I was.
You were
no,
mugging.
No, I.
And slapping.
How many people do you have to mug
I'm
and slap?
I'm doing a play in the park.
You're not.
It's Othello.
Does anyone else know that?
No. It's rehearsing.
Why don't you sound like this when you talk on TV?
Shut up, asshole.
Okay.
You
all
ask
right
for that every time.
All right.
I told you why.
Okay.
All right. Now, look. Like I said, all I'm going to do is really focus on getting money
right
back into the city.
But you said legitimately.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, I'm just doing a play in the park.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Keep your mouth shut. All right. Last time I promised you. Stop your car. Come here.
Well, don't.
Hey, get out of the street. Hold on. Come here. Yeah. Give me the car.
Oh,
what are you doing?
You're not carjacking.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Mayor.
Woo!
You can't.
Yeah.
How much is that car worth?
At least $80,000. All right.
Our friend Dave, the King of Mexico, has joined us in studio. Dave, a guy who is the assistant producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, has been with us for a long time. But really, Kevin, I think you'll agree, is starting to come into his own as an interviewer.
Well, I think everybody can point to his Megan Fox interview and say, wow, has he grown as an interviewer?
Absolutely.
And this is what I love about the Megan Fox interview. We'll hear it here in a moment, is that she is probably one of the hottest celebrities. I don't mean physically, although she's got that too. One of the gets right now is Megan Fox. If you get an opportunity to interview Megan Fox, I mean,
right,
that's A-level the week that Transformers comes out, right?
Now, Dave, the reason we bring this up is because you had that A-level interview.
I did.
What are your plans this weekend?
This weekend, I am flying to Chicago and going to see the No Doubt Paramore tour.
Which you've been seeing every stop along the
way?
Well,
I mean, I have a couple of upcoming scheduled dates, and I've seen them. I have seen them in San Diego.
Okay.
And yeah,
and then you're going to interview who?
Well, I'm on a mission to go and find Haley.
Haley
from Paramore.
Oh, really?
Your girlfriend, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're in a different state. Why not? I'll bring something back to the show on my little trip.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
All right. So, have you prepared any questions for Haley?
I can tell you why not.
And the
Megan Fox interview.
Because I remember the Megan Fox interview. Well, maybe this is a good time to hear it, and then we'll talk about what your future plans are. But here's Dave, who's face-to-face with the woman that he admitted on the video. And you can go to KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean section, and see the whole video from the Transformers world premiere. He went down there with the intention to interview Megan Fox. So clearly, he had questions on his mind, right?
Yes.
Let's see.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Hi.
That's
how are
it.
You?
It's not a question. That's a statement.
Okay, boom. That's the extent of the interview.
Megan, I just want to ask one question. Hello. That's not a question. First of
you
all.
You had nothing, not one single question for Megan Fox?
Hello?
That's
you
not a question.
Another question?
No.
You stood out there on the red carpet for an hour with a microphone preparing to interview Megan Fox. When you finally get her, your question, quote unquote, is, hello?
You know, she heard it. She's heard it all, man. You know, like, oh, what are you doing in your life?
How, yeah. Why
are
you know
single?
What she hasn't heard? She's never heard hello.
Yeah, let
never
me just,
heard that.
Do you guys remember the result of that question, though?
She
what was
said,
the result of that
she
question?
She said, hi.
Megan Fox just blew me a kiss. What's up?
That's right.
Because she
blew
felt
me a kiss.
Sorry for you because you're the retard behind the rope with the
no,
mic.
No, because I was refreshing.
The play the interview again, Bean. Let's see if this is refreshing.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Hi.
That's
how
it. It's not a question. That's a statement.
Dave, she was being nice like she would at a Special Olympics event.
And she asked me a question. She didn't ask anybody else on the on the red carpet but me.
You know
me.
Why? Because they all asked her questions.
Okay.
And then
so
they got
Megan,
answers.
That's Megan Fox. You yes. clearly know a lot about Haley and Paramore. They're one of your favorite bands. You wear the goddamn
yes.
fingerless Paramore gloves, for God's sake.
Yeah, and sunglasses.
And sunglasses, yeah.
If you get to Haley, and I know you've met her before, are you going to have anything to say to her, or is your only question going to be hello?
You know what,
I just have one question, hello.
I don't like, you know, I don't like to to think about the interviews too much. I just want it as it happens.
Yeah.
You know, I want it in the moment. Let's, so that's what I like to bring to the
listeners. Let's play his last in the moment interview, which was with Megan Fox.
Okay.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Hi.
That's
how
it. It's not a question. It's a statement.
Okay, how'd that work out?
Yeah, it worked out awesome. The prepared questions aren't, you know, they don't feel authentic. And when you're there and you're just having a chat, that's what I want. So that's what I'm going to bring.
You didn't have a chat. You said, I have a question. Hello. That's a statement.
All right. There's no chat. Will you bring us something back from the weekend with you and Haley from Paramore?
Sure. I'll make it happen.
Seriously?
Yes.
Okay. Don't tell her you're from our show. Under no circumstances. Do not identify yourself as K-Rock.
Okay.
You understand me?
I will not.
Under
say that.
No circumstances are you allowed
I
to
mean,
say
I mean, we're buds anyway, so she'll know
fine.
Who I am.
Excellent.
So,
then you
know.
Don't have to say you're
right.
From
no, it'll just be like two friends talking.
Okay.
We just don't want you to drag our good names
right.
through the mud with Haley. That's all we're saying.
Right. Just keep that to yourself. This is your deal. You're going to do the interview as great as it's going to be.
So bring back her used panties.
Minutes away from Nicole Alvarez and 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday afternoon. What's going on?
You know, it's not easy being a Pulitzer Prize winning entertainment reporter. You have to...
You haven't gotten
who
a
are you
Pulitzer
talking about?
Pulitzer Prize.
Myself? You have to...
You've gotten no prize.
Well, I won the Wurlitzer Prize.
You
it's different.
You didn't.
I won an Oregon once in a raffle.
Oh, all right.
It is... you have to bring the good news and the bad. You have to
uh-oh.
You have to tell both stories.
Yeah.
And this story has it all. The good news is... Annalyn McCord has announced in the upcoming season of 90210, she will be engaging in some girl-on-girl making out.
All right.
Yay!
All right now.
The bad news, it's with Rumor Willis.
No!
It's not girl-on-girl.
Really?
Well, technically it is.
Technically, maybe, yeah.
She says, Naomi gets drunk, her character on the show. She gets a little crazy. Liam's watching. Naomi wants to experiment. And then a little lip-on-lip action with Rumor Willis can't hurt anybody, right? Wrong.
That's the best tuna.
Wrong. It hurts.
it hurts
me.
It's a missed opportunity mm-hmm. as well.
Poor Rumor.
Wow.
Your mom's Demi Moore.
Yeah.
You get your dad's jawline. And his hairline, for that matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are so many pretty girls out there, probably, who would love that role. Love to be on that show. Make out with her.
Speaking of actors, Keanu Reeves in the news. He has announced that he is considering becoming a professional chef.
Awesome. No, not an actor?
No he word, can't just cook?
No word on whether that will preclude his career as an actor or not. But he said he is in love with cooking. He has been doing it a lot lately. He's been inspired by, of course, the French chemist. Chemist?
Sure.
Dave.
It's a mix between a chef and a chemist.
Right.
He's a chemist.
He's a chemist.
He's
like
a
it.
French chemist chef or chemist named Hervé Thys. And he's written a famous book, Molecular Gastronomy, Exploring the Science of Flavor.
You don't have to tell me.
He says the book has changed his life. He dropped it on his foot, apparently, and hurt himself. He hasn't read it yet. He's had a hard time reading the words in it, but apparently.
But he had to stay home, so he started
cooking.
That's
right, so it changed his life.
Ralph, I literally was in a store yesterday, and I found Dracula, which I love, and I said, this movie does not have Keanu Reeves in it, right? And she said, yes, and I said, I'll take it. Because that movie he ruined.
Yeah.
Ruined!
Which Dracula did you get, then?
An older one?
Anyone that doesn't have a minute.
It's so bad in that.
Is it the Bela Lugosi? Is it the original? Blah, blah.
Maybe I got the wrong one. I Bela better Lugosi. Check just to make sure.
The children of the night, what sweet music they make. Arr! That one?
Oh, no. I got the wrong one. She lied to me. Who's Dracula in his? Gary Oldman?
Gary Oldman,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, I bought the wrong one.
Oh, you she got totally the Keanu one. You.
You got Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yes.
Which features...
She said he wasn't in it.
Which features prominently Keanu Reeves
he
doing a British accent.
One. Oh, that was his worst performance ever.
However, you do get Monica Bellucci being all vampire-y lesbian.
That's
whatnot.
True.
But she lied to me is what
you
I'm saying.
That. Can't trust her.
Wow.
That girl
that's
at Barnes & Noble or wherever you were.
That's where I was.
John Gosselin from Kate and John, plus eight, minus one. Can't keep control of his hormones, according to the National Enquirer. They said that he has a second girlfriend now.
Yeah.
John's got a little play.
He's going crazy.
Yeah.
Wait,
he,
women are nice?
He takes those kids to the park and says, oh, yeah, yeah. Chick
see
magnet.
You?
Chick
see
magnet.
Flowers.
Next he's going to get his a puppy. He's having a hard time juggling both of those girls and his family commitments.
Really?
The paper says. So he's given up. The family commitments. I can see. Certainly
a good choice.
Wise choice. And good news. You know, I like to follow the latest in bad movie trends. Just announced for 2010, Christmas time, the big budget, big screen version of The Smurfs. Yes, The Smurfs are going to be hitting
you
the big screen in
making
Christmas.
That up.
Nope, it's true.
That is a joke.
It's going to be a live action slash animated movie, so I'm guessing regular folks will be interacting with The Smurfs.
Not going to happen.
And the good news is the guy who directed Beverly Hills Chihuahua will be bringing us
Don't
The Smurfs.
That. Don't
Remember what happened last time you applauded about
Sorry.
That movie? What happened?
Kevin punched me in the balls.
That's right.
You want me to do it again?
No.
All right.
Learn your lesson. Of course, The Smurfs were a very popular 1980s TV show.
He was too close. I had to take advantage of the opportunity.
But you know, The Smurfs were created in the late 1950s?
No. Yeah,
no.
That's when they first appeared in Belgium. Very popular Belgium cartoon, The Smurfs. Huh.
Is that when acid came on the scene as well?
I don't believe so. I think acid was later.
All right.
I think the timing was off for acid and Smurfs. They sure smurf the Smurf out of smurfing, those Smurfs.
They sure do.
Today's celebrity birthday is Brian Dennehy. He's 71 years old today. You know what he's great in? I saw it just the other
being
day.
Fat?
One of my favorite. He's not fat. He's just big. He's big boned.
He's great in being fat.
He's big boned. He's an intimidating large man of power.
And fat.
He's not fat. He's just
fat.
Big.
He's fat.
Do you ever see Silverado?
No.
Oh.
Is he fat in that?
You like westerns?
Not really.
You're a dick.
I don't.
You asked.
You're a chick.
I'm a chick?
Really?
Chick.
How do you not love westerns?
If you're a guy, you have to love westerns?
Yes.
The only western I've ever loved was Clint Eastwood, The Unforgiven.
That's a good one.
That was great.
But in terms of like just a feel-good, rollicking, adventurous western.
Was Kevin Costner
Silverado,
in that?
Kevin Costner's best performance, in my opinion. Kevin Kline, Scott Glenn.
Nope.
And Brian Dennehy as the corrupt sheriff of Silverado.
The corrupt fat sheriff.
Excellent.
Did his
excellent
horse have a heart attack when Dennehy got on?
No.
Did it collapse under his weight?
And Linda Hunt. The little miniature Linda Hunt as the innkeeper, as the saloon marm of the town. Probably not the saloon marm.
I don't even know what the word marm means.
That would be like school marm.
The school marm would be the
saloon
keeper.
Yeah.
Yes.
What about First Blood?
Yeah, great in First Blood.
Oh, he was great as the sheriff,
He's
right?
the bad sheriff.
Yeah.
He plays a lot of good bad sheriffs.
The fat bad sheriff.
Yeah. Right. Richard Roundtree, he was Shaft in the original films based on that character, 67 years old today. Actor Chris Cooper turns 58. Jimmy Smits from NYPD Blue and most recently from Dexter turns 53. Tom Hanks, also 53. Kelly McGillis is 52. Courtney Love celebrates her 45th birthday. And Fred Savage. Kevin Arnold.
Fred Savage is the greatest actor in the history of the world.
It's true. He is.
That is not an overstatement.
He truly is. Mm-hmm. He is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.